This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You are a member of your household, but only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Yep, we lost a good one yesterday.
Big wheel keep on turning, now in hell he's burning. Rolling,
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 rolling round in his grave.
Ike.
Ike Turner.
Trivia. Rob.
Yes.
Did you know?
Did you?
Did you know?
Did you?
Did you know? Ike Turner was a Jew.
I don't believe it.
He refused.
Converted.
Let me check
like
my charts.
Sammy.
Absolutely.
Huh.
Found it out today. Check out the gigantic picture of him in the Washington Post style section and go on to read the big article.
Well, then his name would have to be Ike Turner.
Well, you guys can go back and forth on that, but I have an announcement to make.
Okay.
Very, very important announcement to
like
make
America.
Right here. A lot of you are going to be hearing things in the news about, the cream, the clear, and all that. I was named today.
Oh, yeah.
It hasn't been in the last couple of years, but in the year 2000. Don knew this. I mean, he didn't want to.
But, Mike, they're penis creams, though.
But it was still a steroidal, and it never made me larger. But, before it gets to be a big thing, I just want to. Right. I'm named in the Mitchell Report.
But you bulked up everywhere.
I bulked up everywhere. My thighs, my kneecaps are what that was disturbing. It looked like I was wearing knee pads when I actually wasn't.
I know.
I don't know how you got in the Mitchell Report, because all you did was answer those ads in the back of your stroke mags.
Well, no, they were not just stroke mags. They were Men's Health and the Men's Fitness. You know, would you like to be larger? And that's back before they were in every magazine.
Right.
And that's back when, you know me, there wasn't an infomercial or an advertisement that didn't speak to me. And
penis cream.
And then I wrote a couple of checks, and there they were in the Mitchell Report today.
Sure.
Right underneath Paul LaDuca.
Comes back to haunt you.
So, I mean, we'll talk about this during the show. I was going to ask you seriously, as a baseball fan.
Yes.
Do you give a rat's ass? I left you a message today. You weren't at home when they announced that Roger Clemens and Andy Pettitte were on the list. And many prominent Yankees. And I was going. My if you check your message at home.
Yes.
My message that I left you was, have you heard about those guys? And do you think any of your guys are going to be on the list?
Well, here's the thing that's killing me. I went through the report,
the Red Sox.
You know. This is an easy thing to do right before the show. Go through that report, all 400-plus pages of it,
right,
where they've got all the recommendations on what they do. I have heard through a questionable source right now that maybe Jason Veritek is on the list.
I thought he sucked.
Thank you, Carla. But I haven't been able to find the name.
She
so I've been scouring, because
that's
the captain of the Red Sox. That's a big deal. That's as big as, say, a Roger Clemens would be to the New York Yankees.
I got to tell you what I think. I was listening to Mitchell on the way to work today, and I heard everything that he had to say, his entire spiel, and in some ways he made sense. In some ways, I mean, more than one time he advocated, I think we should just give everybody a pass.
A clean
start. Absolutely.
Right. Everybody.
I think that's got to happen now.
Everybody that's participated, except he throws in this caveat. Unless there are some cases where the commissioner thinks he absolutely must step in.
So give everybody a pass except when, what makes one, they're even talking about Barry Bonds. They're saying, makes Barry Bonds different is because he lied to a grand jury.
And he also, it goes through the great effort of saying how awful this is and then says, but you must remember that this was a culture where everyone was doing it. And if you were one of the guys that didn't do it and it was the only way that you can compete for your job. So it's like, do you get what I'm saying? Yeah.
Well, that's what it was, though. I mean, that was the culture of, in order, if I'm going to survive, if I'm going to make the big leagues, if this is going to give me the edge, and you've got guys that are at a very high level that you're aware are doing it, not that that justifies it, but it was the culture of that. And I think I think everybody can agree, it's not a good period for baseball, especially big baseball fans like me, but with the volume, the sheer volume of people that they had involved in this, I think you look at it, you move on. Now, do those guys get into the Hall of Fame? No, probably not. Because there are probably a lot of guys that are in the Hall of Fame that didn't do that. And, you know, I think that should be a criteria, but that's the Hall of Fame. That's gravy on the potatoes. That's not, you know, you don't take anything away from these guys. I don't think even if they've made records with their respective teams, you put an asterisk. Why do that? But as far as, like, the pinnacle, which is really what a lot of these guys play for, the Hall of Fame, I think if you did the roids, I mean, there are guys that are in the Hall of Fame that didn't do the roids. So from that standpoint, that's the one thing I think, you know, that's much like they, you know, look what they did to Pete Rose for betting on baseball. A lot of people are saying this is worse. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one thing, you know, you give everybody a free pass. But when it comes down to putting him up in front of people, it's going to be tainted anyway. So you just say that's
anyway,
not going to happen.
To paraphrase what this guy was saying was, everyone wants to hear the names. Mm-hmm. And
I do.
I'm not going to tell you the names.
Huh.
Now, I've got the names, but I want to tell you something. When I tell you the names, don't think bad things about these guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got the names. These are bad guys. They're not all bad guys. Well, these bad guys aren't really bad guys because I talk to these guys. But here's the thing.
Is that what it sounded like?
We got to stop doing this now. We got to figure out a way to stop doing this because of the kids.
For the kids.
Really, he said, mm-hmm. because of high schoolers, et cetera.
Well, I agree with him. I'll tell you why. Because, I mean, the one thing I did look at in the beginning of the report, I do agree that high school kids that do this are jeopardizing their health. I think that from that standpoint alone,
right,
sure. You know, if you continued with the culture of, hey, the only way as a, you know, a kid that weighs 185 pounds coming out of high school that I'm going to make it into the big leagues is to do roids. But then when you're 45, 50 years old, you're gonna have health problems. I think that is bad.
Here's my point, and I'm glad you have a different point than I do. My point is, as a non-rabid baseball fan,
right?
As a sports fan, I watched this today and expected this Cat Mitchell to come out and say, "Listen, this is what I found.
Mm-hmm.
These are the guys, and this is what we're going to be doing."
Right.
Instead, you got a 30-minute PowerPoint presentation,
yep.
in which he treated the audience as if we were third graders,
mm-hmm.
and had to just reiterate over and over again. And also there was the underlying theme. Everything goes under the carpet now, okay?
Right.
We've come out and we've said it, so now let's just forget it. Like the Popeil thing.
You know what that makes me think about? And I don't know whether we're totally disagreeing on this. I think we agree on certain parts of it. We disagree on others. The part that I agree with is that, you know, everything I've read about steroids, about human growth hormone, is that it you know, it damages your body and it's bad. And if it's something that if it became accepted, where hey, you do have to use this to get the edge, I think it would affect people's health. It would be, you know, bad for people. So from that standpoint, I think you don't want to encourage kids to take it. But what I say about coming out with this list of 80 players, I say, well, did they get everybody? Is everybody, because is it fair to those guys that
no.
are on this list?
No.
If there's a lot of guys that took it that didn't write the checks out, I think that's kind of a screw job.
That's what I found to be upside down in this. Mm-hmm. This guy was saying, I got a list of 80 guys.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more guys that did it, and there's a lot more guys in that than didn't do it. So I got a list of 80 guys. I'm not going to give you the list right now. I haven't mentioned, I got a list of 80 guys.
And you know the way the media feeds on this. That's all it's about. I mean, it means nothing. The report means nothing other than the list of guys that's on the report.
It is
the
like
way we look at it.
It was like teasing a kid with a toy on Christmas, because for 30 minutes...
Try to find the names in the report, too. That's a lot of fun.
For 30 minutes, this guy was speaking and saying, in essence, whenever you would lose interest, he would say, I know you want to hear the names on the list, and I want the media to know that we should not be focusing on that.
Mm. Well, to me, I didn't read the report, and I know that the steroids are bad for kids to get involved with, so I agree with all that. But you're naming 80 guys, and there are other guys you know that did it that you didn't name.
Right.
That sucks. Mm-hmm. And that is unfair to the guys. You know, I mean, that is unfair to the players that were involved with
permanently
it. You know, it really, I mean, that's what it's all going to be. It's going to be the policy and what they do to police it is going to be what? The fourth, fifth thing down the line. What's going to matter
is
going to be how many guys, hey, we got this list. Where's this? Right now, you got guys all over every newsroom, every sports department in America that are reading this 400-plus page report trying to, because he doesn't come out. It's not like he says, you know, here's part three of my report. Here's the list. It's not written like that.
No list.
What you have and what I looked at before the show, you've got a list of guys that are, their name is mentioned, and then they go into a very 2, 3, 4, sometimes 7, 10 pages about their involvement and how they were, including a lot of canceled checks,
yeah,
a lot of checks that you saw with that. So, I mean, certain guys got caught because they wrote checks to this one guy that distributed it. What about other guys that were out there?
Right.
You know,
it's cash,
at a certain point, you do have to say, hey, this sucks.
I mean, that's why I don't understand this. That's why I didn't understand the whole purpose of this. If you're only going to rat out some, and then you're going to say, oh, but listen, don't get mad at these guys because everybody did it. Mm-hmm. Well, if everybody did it, and I know everybody literally didn't do it, but if the majority did it, why are we pulling out these 80 then?
Right.
And, you know, my God, am I going to miss that fabulous Roger Clemens commercial now where he's out on the golf course? You know, the one where he can't hear? Should he come back?
Anyway.
I know you don't. I hate that. I hate it, too.
I was happy to hear him named. I have to say that, as so many Red Sox fans were. But then, of course, Carla called me and said, did you hear about Jason Verte? And I haven't seen him in the list yet.
Oh.
Now, that's what everybody's going to be doing. You're going to be looking for your favorite players on the list, and it's going to taint it. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to taint it for about a day.
Yeah.
And then you're going to move on, and you go, but if the greater good that comes out of this is that, you know, to a certain extent, they have put the kibosh on this culture of using steroids, a junior high school kid that's a punk that's taking these things because he wants to bulk up, it's going to hurt him.
I also heard this guy say, this guy Mitchell, the guy that led this thing, the former elected official.
Senator from Maine.
Right. This guy says, incidentally, you should know right now, there is no urine test for HGH.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what he's saying in essence is, this is something that's got to be negotiated with the baseball union. Because now the baseball union has to decide, gee, do we want to give you our blood? Isn't our piss enough for you?
Mm-hmm.
This guy's saying, there's still, even now today, there's a way around it.
Right.
Because you can't find out who's taking the HGH.
I got a little of that from the report also, that this problem is far from solvable. I mean, it really is difficult to solve it. And you are, you know, I don't know what they're trying. I think what maybe putting the names in there, the reason for that is to discourage other players from doing it. I don't know. I mean, are you sacrificing these guys?
Yeah, I don't get it.
And they're you know, a lot of these guys might have done it, but they, than that, they had exemplary lives.
Bottom line of how I feel about it. I feel like they're coming out now and saying, this is it. This is everything. And now let's forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know there's a lot more.
You know it's going to happen again? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I just got the feeling that it doesn't go away just because a guy writes a report.
No way.
And puts names in a report.
No, it doesn't go away. And I think that, you know, maybe if he focused more on methods of eradicating it from baseball and getting it out of the sports so that, you know, so you're not, you know, you don't, because the one thing I do agree of, the term that I've heard is the culture of steroid use, the culture of this stuff that was in baseball. And that, to me, it, you know, if you're going to fight that is a good thing because you are preventing young people from getting involved in it. However, if you're going to vilify just 80 guys when you know there are more out there that maybe you didn't have enough evidence on, I'm not sure I agree with that, especially since you're not going to do anything about it.
And on the other hand, listen, as a sports fan, as I've said before, I could give a rat's ass, really, if they're out there on crack playing. If it means they can run faster, hit the ball farther, throw it farther, catch it farther, whose life are they putting in danger? Theirs.
And well, but as role models for kids, they are putting kids' lives in danger.
None of these guys are role models.
Well, a lot of kids, of course they are. I mean, if you're a kid, I mean, I grew up playing hockey and bought Bobby Orr's book to teach me how to put on my pads. That's done today where looking at athletes and you're saying, hey, look at him. If he took this, you know, I know he takes the roids. That's how you get your edge. That's damaging.
No, but the kids don't look at athletes like we did.
Maybe they don't. I don't know.
I'm positive on this.
Think, though, that the example would be there if this went on and on and on, where it got to a point where the only way that, that it was known, that it was a known fact, if you were a high-level athlete coming out of junior high school, for example, that the only way you would get your edge was to do this, and it was something that in the long run was going to be adverse to your health, I think that's you know, that's something that has to be addressed.
The,
I
mean, but you, most of these guys know it, and don't most of them say.
Well, you think these guys are, you think these, the type of intellects we're talking about are science majors?
No, I think most of them know the challenge, and most of them say.
I think some of them
they,
do.
They know the gamble, and they say, I would rather play now, make my money now, you know, hit the ball 80,000 feet. You know, and as a fan, I say, do it.
You've always said that.
I really
but
have.
You want them to be like Leviathans, right? You want these guys to be
I want all
to
of
be
the
like
guys
out of video games. Hello, hello. Right. I'm batting cleanup for the Boston Red Sox.
I want all the guys.
Rip your head off, but look at how small my testicles are.
All the guys on HGH, all the guys on roids, put them all on one team.
Okay, now, wait. Now, see, I'm down. Now you're getting a point here because
all the guys that test clean, you put them on another team. Now.
Another league.
Yeah, and then you play in the World Series.
Right. You mean the roid guys and the other guys play in the World Series?
You got a whole roid league.
You see, like, a guy slide into second base and the guy rips his leg off.
Now, if you do have a team that's all steroid users, for God's sake, don't cut off the team bus on traffic. They will kill you.
They will get very, very, very angry.
They're not a patient bunch.
I think I've said that all along.
You have. You have.
I'd like an NFL team that has all the druggies on it. An NFL team that has all the guys that get in trouble on it.
Well, see, I can't disagree with you 100% because you're talking about isolating them. Isolating them in their own island. And, of course, they'd win. They would be the big winners every year. Every single year. How boring would that be?
I've always called for isolation.
The thing,
isolationism.
The thing that we love is a dynasty that we can all root against.
Right.
Now, thinking back to football terms, Dallas Cowboys, please, when they start winning again, everybody hates them. Imagine that times 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about the roids roster is, if steroids are indeed as bad as some people are saying, well, then your lineup would be constantly changing and evolving because these guys would be dying all the time.
Let me offer this. What about the little guy in sports? What about the American passion for the underdog in sports where you root for the little guy?
Mike,
you root for the 98-pound weakling that happens to be able to swing that bat.
Did David or not beat Goliath?
He did. He did. So you're saying, you're telling me there's a chance.
So all year long, you'd have one league of guys that don't take.
Now coming to the plate for the non-steroid team is Kip Sims. Kip is 5'3", 162 pounds, and he'll be facing off against the steroid right-hander, Mongo. Mongo Eat Beef Stew. Mongo Eat Beef Stew can throw 312 miles per hour. Mongo's got an incredible. He has taken out six catchers this year, and they're on steroids, too.
And, of course, as you can see, Mongo has the tracking device around his ankle.
Just in case he gets a little high-strung.
Which is going to slow his pitching motion down just a little bit.
Tracking device. Of course, on the steroid team, they are all under house arrest officially. Any of them attempting to leave the stadium without permission will have their heads explode. Well, that's the future. The future of sports.
I don't know if it's much ado about nothing. I just know I listened to it tonight. It was like, It was like
it's a drag. We can agree on that, right? It is a supreme drag. As a baseball fan, you know, I go to the Boston Globe website every single day for the Red Sox, and I go there to see who they've traded for and to see what guys coming up from the minors and what they're doing in the offseason. And when you see, you know, with all due respect to the guy, George Mitchell's, you know, oversized bald head that's sitting there, and you're just like, oh, you know, and you know, everybody feels the same way as a baseball fan. Okay, all right, okay. Let's get it over with.
And move.
Do what you have to do. Put whatever testing you have to do. But let's move by it. There are enough guys on this list where I don't think it's going to have the impact a lot of people think.
I'd field the team with these guys, and I don't even know their names. Sight unseen.
I could give you some names that I know off the top of my head from reading the report.
I'm telling you, it's a team of all-stars, Mike. I travel the country with
at
these
second
guys.
Second base, Lenny Dykstra.
Oh, from the Phillies.
From
bring
the
him
Philadelphia
on.
Phillies, yes.
Bring him on.
At pitcher, Kevin Brown.
Sure, whoever, from the Dodgers?
From your Baltimore Orioles, Brian Roberts.
Bring him on.
Mm-hmm.
All these guys can be on
rounding
my
out your
team.
Pitching rotation, Roger Clemens and Andy Pettit. and a bunch of other guys.
I'm going to base my franchise in Richmond, Virginia.
That'll be good.
Right next to King's Dominion. We're going to call it the Richmond Roids.
Will you allow smoking in the stadium since you're
of
very...
Of course, Mike.
Very close to Philip Morris.
As a matter of fact, my players will be allowed and encouraged to smoke during the game.
A great old tradition. No need to go up the dugout steps. No need whatsoever. Just a hoove right there on the bench. Right there on the bench.
Now, this whole big thing with steroids and other drugs, as I understand it, is illegal. So in between innings, my team would have to go back to the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Because,
right.
Wink, wink, everyone has to go to the bathroom.
It's right. Time for a juice break.
You don't want needles out on the field.
And you, of course, anybody asked you about it, you'd say, I'm talking about orange juice.
Yeah. And we got a lot of active bladders on the team. Mm-hmm. Come on, time for a group pee.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the other team is out there, you know, playing catch and warming up.
Right.
My guys come out, knock down a wall.
Hey, who's got the
lineup? Hey, would the manager be on steroids too?
Who's got the lineup card?
Yes, and I'm not sure exactly who the athlete would be. I might get someone from the NFL. And I would like someone like Lyle Alzado, bless his heart, he's passed on. I'm thinking though, like Brian Bosworth.
Yeah, with a big like mullet.
He might be a good commissioner maybe for the Roids League.
Like a mohawk and a mullet. Didn't he have that going for him at one time?
Yeah.
He had the mohawk and the mullet.
That's a good look.
He was on the Roids.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you could look at him and tell.
Big time. He had that. Big time. All right. Anyway, well, should we start the show?
I think that might be a good idea.
Shall we start?
I think it's a fine idea.
It's almost Christmas, right?
It is.
Bork, bork, bork. Bork, bork, bork. Bork, bork, bork. Bork, bork.
Bork, bork.
Bork, bork.
Bork, bork.
Bork, bork, bork. Bork, bork, bork. Bork, bork.
Lovely.
Bork.
I like that.
I've borked a lot of women in my day.
Bork, bork, bork. Bork, bork, bork. Bork, 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 bork.
It's not to be confused with Bjork.
Right.
I've borked a lot of women in my day.
I'm mad.
Oh, hold on a second.
Bork.
So we had three of them. Oh, we do. We do. Sorry. So sorry.
Happy holidays.
I've borked a lot of women in my day.
Bork, 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 bork. Bork, 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 bork.
He's got great phrasing.
Really good.
Almost as good as Sinatra.
Let's start.
Well, that was one of the fascinating points about radio, I think, the fact that you had to use your imagination,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the sound effects and everything else they had going on.
Yeah.
Those radio shows were marvels.
Thank you, Reed. Mike Show.
Sound effects and all.
Rages.
Sure,
how are you?
Sure, dear boy.
I'm old.
Come on.
Oh, come on.
Come on, guys, shut up and move on.
Shut up. I want to move on.
Is everybody happy?
Happy.
How about you, Paula Deen?
I'm not happy.
Well, that's Paula Goldstein. How about you, Paula Deen?
We get so tickled sometimes at each other that I literally just wet my pants.
Paula. She wets herself, huh?
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Well, maybe that happens. I don't know.
I'm horny. You're horny. Come on, let's go do it.
Ooh, whoopee. Right, Whoopi.
That was funny.
You think so?
You're awful funny, aren't you?
We tried.
All right. A little quiet for Super Jock.
Buzz. It's all about the buzz.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
Yep.
That was funny.
Sang a little buzz. Oh, how about the phone number?
Let's pick the phone and let's call that hotline today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I can't believe it. These guys are fags.
Yep.
These kids are fags.
Uh-huh.
I can't believe it. Down. God damn it, they're fags.
Yep.
Ah, what glorious goo.
What does it look like? Come on.
Looks like baby vomit.
What does it smell like? It
smells like a bunch of farts got in a fight.
All right, how about the J-Man?
Let's get our Christ on. Let's kick it Jesus style. Y'all want to walk with the ultimate rebel? Right? The ultimate CEO? Biggest celebrity of them all? Who's down with G-O-D?
Oh, God.
good.
So good. Jesus is so good.
And as for my clothes, well, you happen to have caught me in a moment of self-pleasure. I appreciate your discretion. That will be all.
I've borked a lot of women in my day.
I know you have.
Why do you favor rape?
Oh, stop it, Larry.
Why men's rooms?
Why, indeed.
He prefers to be treated like a dog.
Uh-huh.
Also, a toilet.
You bet. Indeed.
Right? Stop that. It's silly. Very silly indeed.
Big Ed.
And now,
here we are,
ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Thank you, Ed.
Eddie.
Hi, everybody. We start with Don now.
Hi, everybody.
Hi there. Welcome back.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Meryl.
Madonna.
The lady has moves.
Don and Mike show, and it's a new episode on this SHI Thursday.
Oh, boy, it sure is.
Use those initials. They spell poop.
They do indeed.
And our phone number, in case you didn't hear it, 877-365-3636. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hi.
Hi. Don and Mike and Buzz and Rob.
Yes, we're all here. Hi there.
Hi. I was calling to comment on the baseball thing. I was under the impression that the whole investigation even took place in the first place for C-League for a quick fix to get Congress off his back saying they were going to intervene.
You might be right about that.
Anything will come up of it at all. And I don't even care. I'm such a big sports fan. And just like them, you know, they just live for the moment anyway. Because
honey, throw your hands in the air. Let's dance.
Woo!
And I feel.
Dance it off.
Let's dry hump. Come on.
How about a little grinding?
Like now, simulated petting.
about a half an inch away.
There you go. Don't touch. So close.
Ooh.
So close. So aroused.
I really thought you were making contact there.
That was a good dance. Thank you for dancing with us.
Thank you for dancing with me.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful
Goodbye,
day.
Bye, darling.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dance.
The dance. The forbidden dance.
Lumbaba. The dance of the damned. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, I was just watching CNN, and they had announced that Mo Vaughn and Eric Gagne, not really a Red Sox, but with the Red Sox right now.
Yeah, I saw that. I read that in the report, right?
There were a couple names out there, you guys.
Most Red Sox fans probably think he got off the juice around the time he was traded.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you know, for a guy that doesn't follow the game, that's a pretty damn funny comment.
Well, I know that he...
That would go over in Beantown on radio up there.
He saved like a million games in a row when he was with the Dodgers,
he was like
a
god with the Dodgers. He did great with Texas. Then he got to Boston. And, you know, they sold us a bill of goods. They did.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hi there.
Hola, muchachos.
Hey, Manny.
Hey, sí.
Manny, you're not, I don't think you're in there.
No, me and Papi, we're not on list.
Right.
You don't need no stinking ass bitch.
I was pretty amazed, though, because, I mean, you're big and strong, and I mean, Papi's big and strong, but...
Yeah, but we do it naturally, man.
That's good. Naturally. What substances do you take to bulk yourself up?
Peyote.
Man.
A little Mary Jane.
Sometime. Drink a little mojito.
Mojito action. All right, Manny, we got to fly.
Thank you, Manny.
Okay, Ramirez. I just want to say Feliz Navidad y Prospero Año to Donaldo y Miguel y Boz y Roberto y Jose.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. Muchas gracias.
The Dominican Republic.
Thank you, Manny. It's been great talking to you all year.
AMF to you.
Adios, Manny.
Adios.
Bye-bye. Manny Ramirez. Great guy. He really has been so generous with his time.
Don and Mike show. Hi there.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, we're doing great. Hi.
Thing that pisses me off the most about this whole thing is the only reason why this investigation even happened was because of Canseco. If he didn't open his stupid flipping mouth, this never would have happened to begin with.
Well, don't blame Jose Canseco. Seriously. I mean, Jose Canseco took a lot of crap.
Yeah, he did.
And I don't blame Jose Canseco. Someone had to be the guy that was going to spill the beans.
I mean, when you look back in the day at Canseco and Mark McGwire, Who were they, the Bash Brothers? Is that what they call those guys when they're playing for the Oakland Athletics?
Right.
And you looked at him, and then all of a sudden, it seemed like overnight, as a baseball fan, these guys turned into superhuman comic book characters.
Mark McGwire, for a long time, looked like that redhead guy that was on the show 30-something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what I mean?
The guy that was also in Revenge of the Nerds.
Timothy Busfield,
who was originally in Revenge of the Nerds.
And then all of a sudden, he got gigantic.
But, you know, really, I hate to use him as an example because he has been punched over this a lot, but Barry Bonds is the greatest example. Because you look at Barry Bonds, and he is just this tiny little guy with skinny arms and legs, and then it's like, all right there, brother.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hi.
How the hell are you?
Hey, we're doing great.
Awesome. Hey, can you imagine being the one guy in this that actually honestly never used and somehow your name got dropped? What do you do then?
I was thinking about that.
Wouldn't it be great if Cal's name was on that list?
Wow. Oh, you're blaspheming now. You are You can't even make that as a joke.
Mike,
if you think that's a
joke,
Mr. Man.
I'm not joking. It's just come over ESPN.
You know, I've always realized something about you. You're a wise guy. That's what you are. You're a wise guy, Mr.
Cal Ripken is on the list.
No way.
No,
there's not a chance Cal's on the list.
Do you hear me, Charm City? Do you hear me?
He makes his own human growth hormone.
Cal's on the list.
He's not. There's not a chance.
Maybe Billy.
Oh, you know what? I read that Jeremy Giambi was on it, too.
Yeah.
Like,
really?
He was the classic younger brother. That's truly a shame. It's a shame it didn't do for his career what it did for his brother.
He still looks like he's on roids.
Jason Giambi?
Yeah, the younger Giambi.
Yeah. Oh, the younger one, yeah.
I mean, the one that plays for the Yankees.
That's Jason Giambi. He does. He kind of looks like, man, I'll tear your head off.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hi there. Are you shocked like I am that Cal is on that list?
Stop it. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble.
Just want to let you guys know, my kid takes HGH every day. Legitimately, he's 12 years old, and he's concerned, like, could he play sports? And I'm like, dude, you're too small. You're never going to play sports anyway. But it's not illegal. It's just there are a lot of kids out there that take it that are probably freaking out now.
What does he take it for? What's the reason he takes it?
Because he has a cerebral palsy and epilepsy, and he takes it because his body doesn't make any.
So he takes it like it's a prescription.
Kids don't make it. So my wife and I literally inject him with HGH every day, which is kind of weird thinking about what these athletes do, and I'm giving it to my kid.
Would you mind if we gave your number to Cal Ripken?
Yeah, well, I live right down the street, so he knocks on my door.
Cal might want to bogart some of your kids HGH.
You know, you know how I went up to the Orioles game this year, and that guy, I think Frank from the Orioles, could not have treated me nicer. If you had been on this tour with me, where every single display case is Cal.
That's why it's so shocking,
it's
Mike.
It's all about Cal.
That's why it's so shocking that Cal Ripken is on the list.
You are going to get people tuning in Baltimore right now. They're going, no, tell me it ain't so.
Before you cut this guy loose, I do want to applaud him on his parenting and telling his son, dude, you're never going to play sports anyway.
Exactly. You don't know what it's like telling my kid he's never going to play sports.
No, Rob knows what that's like.
I heard it. I've said it, and I've heard it.
I got one question for you, though, Don.
Yes, sir.
On your professional football team, the Roid team, do the cheerleaders have to be on roids also?
No, but they all have big fake breasts and
implants.
They all have implants that are just about going bad.
Right. Well, are they going to look like the Muscle and Fitness girls that compete in those bodybuilding competitions?
No, they're going to look like Joan Van Ark.
Ah, okay.
And they're also going to have the big, giant, almost ready to explode Joker lips.
Very good.
Haven't you had them all sterilized as well?
Yes. They cannot reproduce.
Sterilized.
Under any circumstances.
Shaved.
Yeah, they're all shaved. They're bald. The cheerleaders are bald.
Uh-huh.
All over.
Your Lady Roids.
And you don't want to say bald. You want to say smooth.
Roidettes.
The Roidettes. Here they come. And they're all 6 feet tall.
Minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shocking news that Cal Ripken is on that list.
Stop.
You can keep trying to joke your way around it, Mike.
Yes, of course. That's what I'm doing.
I am shocked by that.
You are totally shocked. I know you're his biggest fan.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. You know, I never believed all the rumors anyway that I heard about him.
That he was an Iron Man?
Well,
Mike.
You know, I mean, the rumors that we did hear about him.
Yes.
You know.
Hey, Mike.
You
know.
Yeah, yes, I'm here.
About Kevin Costner and stuff. Sorry to bring that one up, Baltimore.
Oh, my God.
But we all know about that. But that wasn't a rumor about him.
No, it was about Kevin Costner. Right.
It was about Kevin Costner and someone close to Cal Ripken.
That's right. Exactly.
Who probably injected him with steroids.
Ooh, watch out, brother.
In the bottom. Hi there.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, I'm here. What?
Hey.
is he has the fag on a list.
That's just, you know, really, I think you have to realize steroids came
predate
in.
Predate that.
That was gratuitous.
That's 60s and 70s.
Yeah. So
don't worry about it.
Who's the Red Sox player you were wondering about?
Veritek.
No, he's not on the list. I have the list now.
See, when you get your information from a girl.
Oh. That's your girlfriend you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. She was, I don't know where she got it from. I'll take it up with her when I get home.
Hi there. Don and Mike Show. What's happening?
Yeah, hey, you know, you were saying that you'd be okay with them taking the drugs, and I started to imagine them like on some of those video games, like Slugfest, where they'd come out looking like monsters. And
that's what it'd be like, right? That's what it'd be like, and you had the ultimate good versus evil,
and the arguments, like in baseball, the arguments with umpires would many times prove fatal.
Now, would the umpires be on roids?
Yeah.
Yes, and Buzz,
is that one? I'm thinking Buzz, of that one guy with the jowls.
I'm glad you asked. Uh-huh. And in baseball and football,
right?
This is very important to my league,
uh-huh,
and to all of the players. The umpires are the only ones allowed to have live ammo on the field.
Oh, fantastic. Perfect. Well, they like have that. To have it
well, now I'm
in
trying.
Order to protect themselves against the rage.
Now
they have to have the live ammo.
What happens if you get a guy who's roid raged out of his mind?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say baseball.
Right.
It's a close play at first.
Mm-hmm.
Tie goes to the runner, except the ump says you're out. Well, okay, so he pushes the ump. That's allowed.
Kicks dirt on him.
He slaps the ump. That's okay.
Lifts the base up out of the base thing and throws it.
He balls up his fist and boom! He punches the ump. The ump gets up, pulls out his gun.
Kneecap or a fatal shot?
Right in the forehead.
That's for baseball.
Between the eyes.
Boom!
Mm-hmm.
And then you crate him off and you bring up the next guy.
What about, and would the same thing hold true for a personal foul in football?
Sure.
Even without the argument, you would have the, it would be a fatal shot.
Yeah, it'd be much different in football. It would be like, here's how I think we'd handle it, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Because football is a violent game to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
If you had someone on roids who was acting badly,
right,
what you would do at first was simply the ref would shoot him with an animal tranquilizer.
And then
an old school.
He would lose his privileges for that particular day.
You would put him in the penalty cage, and he has to stay in the cage for the rest of the game.
Right.
Now,
right.
When he comes back next
the
week.
The penalty cage.
When he comes back next week, if he acts up again, he doesn't get the tranquilizer dart, they shoot him.
But they don't shoot him fatally.
Oh, yes, they
do. It's a three strikes, you're out.
Two strikes, Mike. How else are you going to learn them?
Now, when they shoot him,
baseball that works.
Fatal shot to the head, right?
It's a fan favorite, right? Like the organ will start playing like the Jeopardy theme, and they'll send out a golf cart.
Actually, the fans
pick him up.
Actually, the fans, like much like NASCAR, will actually root for this to happen.
Yeah, and you'll have outs instead of those little bubbles that they used to have with the baseballs, the golf carts that brought them out. You'll have hearses.
But I think you're really
about a fun hearse.
You're underestimating the professionalism.
Team colors.
You're underestimating the professionalism of my roids guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you think that they'll try to keep it together? They're not going to get completely out of line? But, I mean, a personal foul is a personal foul in football. So, I mean, when it happens, it happens. And sometimes, you know, sometimes referees are wrong. But in this case, you know, they would be wrong like the Roman emperors were wrong.
The referees, Mike, are never wrong.
That'll be in your league.
The referees are the only ones that are allowed to carry live ammo.
And, of course, because of that, no instant replay. You'd abolish the instant replay.
Listen.
All sales final.
The sheriff, excuse me, the umpire,
right.
His call is final. Right. And my refs will be wearing big 10-gallon hats.
The warden, I mean the referee.
I like
that. And those mirrored sunglasses.
Like in Cool Hand Luke.
Yes.
You may want to tell you whoever it is that manages the team, though, that the occasional flagrant foul might be good for business.
You know who I'm thinking might be a good conditioning coach?
Who?
I would hire that cat. We've had him on the show. That runs the prison out in Arizona?
Yeah.
Joe Arpaio.
Chef Joe.
Right.
Chief Chef.
Chef Joe.
Sheriff. Sorry, Rob.
Voila.
Now, I'm planning on managing or coaching the team myself. However, it's always nice to have someone behind you who
right.
can back up the muscle that the coach or manager doesn't have the muscle to back up.
And any of the guys that were not playing, if they were injured for that particular week, they would wear pink jumpsuits.
See?
They would be on the side of the
motivational
attached by chain.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it would be done. It would be very, very exciting.
And I'm thinking about the promotions that you could do in Royd Stadium. It would be, my God, you know, warrant.
Outstanding warrant night.
I'm just spitballing now,
mm-hmm.
but you have an outstanding warrant night. And at halftime,
mm-hmm.
you hire warrant to come and play Cherry Pie.
And everybody gets into the stadium that has an outstanding warrant.
Yes, now you must bring your warrant with you.
Yeah, and you be you would be free from prosecution. You would not be picked up that night. You'd be able to go. And
that's right.
So once the game was over, you want to talk about a mass exodus from the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
People, because there would have to be a perimeter. The cops would be in on this to a certain extent, and you just see people running out of the stadium.
Another great promotion would be Hat Night, but all the hats would be size 9.
Yes, yeah. And small testicle night.
Exactly.
Extra small underwear, big oversized hats. Raisin night. Show us your raisins
now,
night.
So the fans don't have to be on roids.
But they can be.
But they will be.
There would be. I guarantee you there would be fans of the roids team.
You'll have the wannabes with their big arms.
Like skinny kids, really skinny kids.
Sure.
Want to be tough, want to get some street cred.
A lot of tank tops. A lot of wife beaters.
Yeah, I root for the roids.
Yeah, the roids are my favorite team.
You want to make something of it?
Man, this is going to be a good game. I say somebody gets whacked tonight. I say one of the players, they're pumped up for this game. Somebody's going to get whacked.
I saw that ref on the camera before the game. He loaded 8 Full Metal Jackets into that weapon. Not the one that he carries in his shoe. The one that's on the table.
Good evening and welcome to the Running Man. I'm sorry, Royd Football. And Royd brought to you by Royd Baseball.
If we would all just get along and learn to accept people with their foibles
and
say, it's their lives they're screwing up.
Yes.
Let them do it. Let's just brand them with a scarlet letter and say, go for it, guys.
You know, in a way, our sports conquests are very similar to warfare. And in warfare, of course, it's been a tradition for decades, for years and years, that you know, if you take a little something to give you that edge in warfare, you do the same in sports.
Sure.
But The Royd League. Maybe we'll see it in our lifetime.
You're not cheating. You're not trying.
Go Royd.
And listen, on a very serious note, I know I've said this before. If anyone knows of any steroids that can make you funnier, I swear to God I take them. I don't like needles, but I swear to God I take them.
Yeah, and I wouldn't. But you know the reason why.
Well, you're afraid of needles.
No, it's the alcohol. Nothing's ever going to replace that for making me funny before the show.
Hi there, Don and my show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hi there.
Happy holidays.
Hi there.
Happy holidays to you too.
Yes.
What about Michael Jordan?
What about Michael Jordan? Why is it always about Michael Jordan?
I'll tell you why. I want you to think about this for a second. When he left to play baseball, so did he get bigger? A lot bigger. Later on in his career.
Maybe he got fatter.
He got bigger and stronger.
No, I don't think so.
I like athletes getting fat when they quit.
I don't think
that's always a big joy to me.
I don't think I'm being a Pollyanna when I say that about Michael Jordan, because as he grows now, I mean, as he ages now,
right.
He looks the same.
I think he looks exactly the same. Yeah. He looks, like he could go out and play tomorrow. He really does. The guy that was a great example for me of a guy that got out of sports and got super fat was John Kruk. I love watching that guy. I love watching him because he gets fatter every year.
I saw him on ESPN today. And I'm thinking, if there was a steroid that would help you lose 50 pounds,
exactly.
I guarantee when he played, he would have taken it.
Don't a lot of those guys, though, that once they go off that stuff, they do get tiny? They do, get very, very small? Mm-hmm. I mean, some of it. But John Kruk just ate donuts.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing very well.
Pardon me?
I couldn't believe you are talking.
How you doing?
While we're talking. We're doing very well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks a lot. Jason Verica, I can't believe he's not on there.
I didn't hear him.
He couldn't believe Jason Verica.
I was lying.
Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Sometimes you do.
Hey, guys.
Hello. Hi. What's happening?
Hey, did you guys hear about the...
hold on. Just want to say hi to Buzz. We've not called him by his nickname for a long time.
You hear me?
Ringo.
JR, Johnny Ringo. Buzz is...
Johnny
Ringo.
Ringo.
What's happening?
I just want to know how I can get one of Michael Vick's dogs.
You know, I like the Maya that comes up. The Maya that comes up with referencing the previous scandal.
You're awful funny, aren't you?
Yes.
You know, they're talking about all this steroid stuff. I think I'll bring up Vic.
That was funny.
Thank you, Larry.
We got a break. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is a funny tape.
A difficult thing to do, which is to kick an addiction. And
you
I was
did
touched
just
by her.
Turkey.
I did. It wasn't easy, but I quit drinking. I had too much to drink one night, and the next night I didn't have any. Next day, and I decided to quit and haven't had a drink since 1986.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm a better man for it, and it's hard for me to speculate, but I doubt I'd be standing here if I hadn't quit drinking whiskey and beer and wine and all that.
The Don whiskey. And Mike Show.
All you want. How about him, huh?
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Fancy digs you got here.
Brother, what can I do to help you?
You're a goddamn thief!
They poke the bear. Don and Mike.
That's funny.
Liquor.
The whole thing about it, I don't drink it, and he starts to list them.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be here today if I had to stop drinking whiskey and a beer, wine, and Coke.
Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Hello.
I don't know what it is. How much is it?
Well, our lady's buying something, I guess.
Hello? Lady?
Do you think you're calling the Butterball Turkey Hotline?
Hello?
Ma'am, are you there? What can we do for you?
Don and Mike Show. How's it going in the checkout line?
I'm at the DMV.
DMV? Oh, right. You're at the DMV. Why are you calling us?
In Manassas, Virginia. Then I'm going to go to the Look Around Cafe.
Oh, very good. Thanks.
Look Around Cafe.
Ask for our DMV special.
I want to tell you that from the time I was 4 until 14, I went up to, and during the summer, Carl Schwarzenegger's Pleasant Valley Inn in Kingston, New York, and his wife, Mary Schwarzenegger. They ran a resort up in New York.
Yeah.
And his uncle, Carl, was big, buff, beautiful, brainy, and forever tanned, and like 100 times more attractive than Arnold. My question, has Arnold Schwarzenegger ever been found to have used steroids, or you know anything about that?
I think it's pretty well documented. He did,
pretty
right?
Pretty well known. I mean, it's just assumed that he did.
I like the way you say his name, though. Would you say his last name again?
Who?
Arnold. Arnold.
Schwarzenegger.
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 It means Black Forest.
It means Black Forest. Black Forest. Very good. Thank you.
I got to go.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Bye-bye.
I know you do. Good luck with that license.
Kisses. Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
She didn't give me a chance to tell her what our DMV special is. The food is exactly the same, but we make you wait longer for it. Thank you, Rob. I'm here all week.
DMV Thank actually you. Stands for Dirty Muddy Vaginas.
I've been in that DMV she was calling from many, many times.
I'm at the special at your place tonight.
Oh, the yeah.
That's the DMV special.
Of course it is. Yum, yum.
Hi there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yes, I'd like to cheer in your new league as the Jacksonville Janet Renos.
Are you doing a Janet Reno impression?
Yes, he is, and it's killing, Mike.
Hmm.
It's on. Killing.
Yeah, I feel like I'm dying right now.
Hi there. I wish I was. Donaldo y Miguel. Hello, those are our names in Spanish.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how's this list going to affect my world of comedy? Happened to Carrot Top.
Boy, on so many levels. And then it's an agenda. Then it's a Shecky. Then it's a junior Shecky.
I didn't even get what he was saying.
Because Carrot Top is all buff now. So he's doing a little Carrot Top steroid humor. And I'm really, really embarrassed that I just explained the joke.
That's not funny.
Not funny at all. And you didn't pick up the phone. You didn't answer the phone when we said hello.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Jesus. What is the delay?
I believe it's his Brain. I'm R-I-G-H-T about this.
Wow.
He's D-U-M-B.
Unbelievable. Truly spectacular.
Thanks for the call, though.
Spectacular, spectacular.
Driving, voting, and reproducing.
Happy holidays. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I actually have a question for Buzz.
How can I help?
I was just thinking, like, you have a very, I'm sorry, I can't talk.
Submit
that is the new trend.
Submit your question in writing.
That is the new trend.
I can't talk.
I'm so panicking that I'm just going to hang up. Because I've got Christmas shopping to do.
I guess.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Shut up. I want to move on.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how about Tyson biting off Holyfield's ear? What do you think Wilbon and Kornheiser will say about it?
Are you calling from a time warp from 10 years ago?
I believe he's trying some sort of joke.
We're talking about current sports events. Michael Vick. Eject.
Oh, no, 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 no.
It's an epidemic. That's unacceptable, too.
I like that. No, no, no. No, no, no.
No.
Not fair. Totally unfair to us.
And to those listening.
Yeah, so let's, you're a charming host.
Let's change the topic for Uno Momento.
Mm-hmm.
First, my dog, I got to tell you, I felt so bad for my dog, Blue.
Does he lick his nasty
hand? You know, we talked yesterday about Doug Tracht,
yes.
And I got a couple of emails from people asking if we were serious.
Yeah, I'm glad that made the front page. You know, you sit there and you did a bit about me wanting a job 2 weeks ago, and you know, I didn't see any evidence of it. But you know, old Dougie gets the front page there. You know, okay. I was really hoping that you know, the next time if we have to talk about my situation, I hope I can get that front page spot.
Are you talking about a Rupert site?
Yeah, on Rupert's site, absolutely. I saw that it was the quote was front page for him, and then some people reacted, I think, the wrong way towards it. You know, they said that it was like. You know, he doesn't need help or anything. All we were being was complimentary.
Listen, right. In the year 2008, you know, when we get back from our break, from our generous Johnny Carson break, it would be great, we are serious about that, about having the Grease Man on the show. If he would like to get his feet back in the radio business, this is not charity. The guy is incredibly talented, and the face of radio stinks. And friend, really... I'm feeling frantic about this because the more I look at this guy, and I saw him when I pointed out to Rob on his website, with the guy's face, I mean, the guy has an intensity and a passion for radio. And if we're going to give these baseball players, for instance, 1,000, you know, free passes and say what happened, you know, the guy said some stupid stuff.
Right.
My God, he's done the mea culpa tour. He makes Imus look like Imus was not repentant at all for what he said.
Yeah, and he went all over the place and spent a good few months dealing with that situation.
I mean, that poor bastard went to like an all-black church in Southwest. Pretty much
he worked with Rock Newman, I remember that, when he was going around doing press conferences way back when.
Threw himself on the mercy of anyone who would listen.
Right.
So, yeah, we'd like to see if we can help Grease Man get back on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And the show would be, I think, a good place for him to get some exposure. If you'd like to come in and hang out, talk with some of his fans,
right?
Do some radio with us, and then it would be ideal. It would be a pleasure. It'd be a wonderful. Just think, it would be a nice move if he took over the show. It just showed the radio industry, or more importantly, the people here in Washington D.C., what this cat can still do behind a microphone.
Absolutely.
So let's give him that shot.
Very good.
Anyway, we're serious about that, and. About you, Mike, since you opened that whole can of worms.
Yes, yes, sir.
Aren't you meeting tomorrow with Dan the Savior?
I believe I have a scheduled meeting with the president of our corporation, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
I only refer to him like that because I saw him refer to that in paper.
Ah, that's a good thing.
Well, on paper.
I echo those sentiments,
at least
until our meeting tomorrow.
He's the Savior. Of CBS Radio.
I could not agree more. Mm-hmm. I know Buzz shares my opinion of that. We all feel, Rob, I know you feel the same
way. We're believers.
I know, Don, you have to feel the same way. I believe that, you know, we're all very enthusiastic about this tomorrow. Looking very, very much looking forward to it. It's going to be a wonderful chance to for me to meet him for the first time. I know you've met him before. You've known him for a very long time, but I'm looking forward to chatting with the guy. And I, the interesting thing, I'm just chock full of questions.
I'm sure.
Chock full of questions, and hopefully I'll have some answers.
Like what kind of questions?
Tiny little things.
Like what?
My future. Hmm.
Like that.
Buzz's future, Rob's future, things like that. Future. Simple questions.
He'll want to talk about the weather.
Mm-hmm. I can do that, too.
Mm-hmm. He'll ask you what your favorite radio station of all time is. Got to come up with the right answer there.
The right answer?
Yeah.
Not the honest answer?
The right answer.
The right answer,
any
of course.
Any station you program, Dan.
No, the answer would be the old WGAY. Thank you, Rob.
That's a great station.
It was well-programmed. It was consistent.
I know you said this off the air,
mm-hmm.
but I think you should go in smelling of alcohol, wearing that Santa suit that you have in the car.
You know, I've got it, and since I got it for the kids' party that I'm doing Saturday, I'm really, really looking forward to maybe knocking back a flavor of alcohol I normally don't drink, gin.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Really warm shots of warm
that oozes,
gin.
That oozes out of your skin, doesn't it?
That is something I think you can drink immediately and get the smell of day-old Bender.
Uh-huh.
You know, and just go in and really, and use the Santa voice that I've used on this show, too. You know, where it's just like, so this is headquarters. And then really, if I could time it, just to maybe vomit at the right time.
Maybe lots of character voices.
Sure. Yeah, that's
slipping
exactly
in
what I'll do. That's
character.
Exactly what I'm planning on doing.
I know Uncle Cartoon is curious about what lies ahead.
Oh, and imagine the sweating that'll happen there.
Oh, yeah.
Anyhow, well, you'll tell us tomorrow, I'm sure.
I will give you a complete update. I'll let you know how it went.
My dog, when I got home from work last night, I felt so bad for this animal. Janet was out doing stuff, and the dogs were at home by themselves, and he has an Afghan that he sleeps on his little doggy bed.
Alive or dead?
No, it's a blanket.
Oh, a blanket. I thought you were talking about the other kind of dog.
Hound,
another breed of dog.
No, like an Afghan.
Yes, like a sweater
or a throw.
Of course, I'm kidding, of course.
Like
right. A little Afghan.
You should tell that to Dan tomorrow.
Yeah, just demonstrate that I am the king of funny.
Just say, hi, Dan, I'm Mike. I'm funny.
I'm a funny. Well, no, what I really was going to do was steal the Rickles song, where I walk in and I go, I'm a nice guy. But anyway, it's a little blanket that your dog is sleeping on.
Yeah, and it's this thing that was, crocheted.
Right.
And on his dog collar are the various extra tags, like for vaccinations, and the tag that says where he lives and everything. And one of those tags somehow got tangled up in the Afghan that he sleeps on his doggy bed. So when I got home, it looked like World War III had broken out. And I walked in the dorm like, what did you dogs do?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the little one, Oscar, he comes from around the corner. And, dogs have this innate sense. To look at you,
right.
And like the little bulldog looks at me, and right away he's got a happy look like, I didn't do anything.
Right. They're communicating.
But boy, is this place a mess. Am I glad you're here, Dad?
Right.
Boy, am I glad you're here.
Uh-huh.
I go around the corner, say, where's your brother? Come here, Clink, what's going on? And what had happened was this thing had gotten attached to his collar.
Yeah.
When he got up, it was like he was wearing a cape. And
he didn't like it.
And as he had walked through the house and I guess tried to shake himself.
Shake it off.
He had knocked pictures off off a little stand.
So he really didn't like wearing it at all.
When I got to the kitchen, we have the dog bowls for the little dog. His bowls are on the floor, and Clink's bowls are slightly elevated.
Raised up in the little bowl holder that they have, right?
Right. Well, they got the that thing was turned upside down, and his food and his water.
So it's like putting a dog in like a costume that a dog doesn't want to wear,
Mike,
and he goes bananas.
He looked at me when I finally saw it, and again, that's why I love dogs so much. The little one looks at me like, hey, I didn't do anything, and then I turn around the corner, and as soon as I see Clink, he gives me a look that's like, don't get mad at me. I couldn't figure out how to get this.
Was it still hanging off of him?
Yeah.
Oh, see, then he gets the free pass.
It's hanging off of him.
He gets the free pass in that
case. And as it's hanging off of him, I realize, what am I smelling?
Oh, no.
And Janet has bought...
His stress goes right to his stomach.
No, it's not that. Janet has bought a lot of, like, jams and stuff for Christmas time, and some of them...
What kind of artists? Good musical artists, or...
No, like jams and jellies.
Oh, jams and jellies. Oh, okay.
I thought
it was like P. Diddy or something.
These were sitting on a table in the kitchen, and I guess as he had walked by, more one of these little... jars had broken.
So he went absolutely berserk with this thing attached to him.
It had to be. I figured I left yesterday, like at 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Jan had left before me yesterday. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. He had got to be at the minimum 2 or 3 hours of walking around with this thing.
And he hated it. You know when a dog is desperate to get something off, when they really don't like a mask or a hat that you're putting on them, and they go nuts. And this is one he couldn't shake. And nobody had put it on him.
No.
So it maybe confused him even more.
And it had to flip him out. And you could just see as you walked from the front door to the kitchen, to the family room, to the dining room,
I love dogs.
To the little middle area. All he did all day was walk in circles.
Wow. Shaking this thing.
And make paths of destruction.
Knock stuff over.
Because it was attached to him.
Yeah.
Oh, that is, that dog, I love that dog. And he's a bit, you know what, I would describe Clink as a bit gangly, right?
Yeah.
Clink's all legs.
Uh-huh.
Clink is all big, long legs.
He is 12 years old now. Mm-hmm. That's way old for a dog. He's like 70,
he's
80.
Pretty energetic for 12 years old,
yeah,
right?
He has arthritis and stuff.
Oh, does he? Okay.
He can still,
84.
He can still jump up. Wow. He can still, you know, scratch on the door when he wants to come in.
Very good.
Clink is a magnificent dog, the friendliest German Shepherd, and just sweet and great around kids. But when he gets close in and wants to, like, cuddle or you pet him, he handles himself like a small dog.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't realize he's, you know, the size of a Volkswagen.
Most big dogs are like that. They don't control. They're like adolescents, you know. They can't control their extremities. And some people, you know, carry it into adulthood also. But yeah. Dogs are crazy like that.
But he's a great dog.
He is. Anyway, it's funny. If I had used my brain, I would have taken a picture with my phone of him. But I was so concerned with...
But I'm glad to see it didn't manifest itself in any diarrhea.
You're
like
lucky,
the Japanese girls sing about.
You're lucky that he didn't shake that blanket off, because then you would have no idea what happened.
Yeah, you think he was just a
you think he's losing his mind.
I think I would have noodled it through.
And Oscar's the bulldog, right?
Right.
And then Oscar has a very expressive face as well.
That's what I'm saying. His face, mm-hmm. when I got home, was a combination of smile, I'm glad to see you, and also, I did nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right. It wasn't me.
You're going to be mad, and I did nothing.
It's good. Well, you're very nice to your dogs. You are. You're very sweet to your dogs.
Goddamn, they are sweet.
And I go hot and cold with Carla's dog. I should say our dog.
Yes, you should.
Our dog, Beluga. Hot and cold. Our dog eat everything that's got any Christmas connection with it whatsoever, Beluga. Food hangover, Beluga. Stagger around the house because you ate 700 chocolate-covered pretzels last night, Beluga.
Well, that's going to kill him.
Yeah. Yeah, but it, you know,
yeah, dogs
just,
can't eat chocolate, right?
I was getting along great with this dog. I was getting along supremely well with this dog until this dog took a left turn, and it all has to do with food. And maybe it was my fault, because a couple of times we cooked a turkey a few weeks ago, and I handed him little pieces of turkey. I think that swung him, and now it's all about food. I know dogs love to you know, enjoy people food, but I cannot, at a certain point, I cannot abide that any time there is any food going into a human being's mouth in my house, mm-hmm. that I have to look at those little gremlin eyes of his staring at me every, no matter where he is. If I'm going to cook food.
Slow down, Michael Vick.
He gets up.
Slow down, Mike.
It's just, he's in this absolute, this is like a crack addict. He's in this people food frenzy, and it's probably my fault.
You've driven him to this, right?
I have been, Carla does not give him people food. I give him people food occasionally, and now he's just out of his mind. Out of his mind. You know, it's 1 point on Weight Watchers for a Tootsie Roll Pop, right? Okay. So if I'm staying on my points, which I do once every month, I will have a Tootsie Roll Pop right before bed. Right. And occasionally I will put it right before bed. I will put it, you know, the wrapper
uh-huh.
and the little stick next to the, you know, on the vanity, right next, not the vanity, the nightstand. I'll put it on the nightstand, and he mangles it in his attempt to get, you know, whatever tenth of an ounce of sugar that he can get off of this thing.
Would it kill you to throw it away?
I would. You know what? I do now because it's right next to the nightstand. Right. I'm in bed and I'm tired, and I don't want to walk across the whole room to where the trash can. It's a little lazy move on my part, but you know. And then you just hear the
little pug pushed in face. And I love him, but he's driving me nuts right
now. I'm used to that noise with Oscar because I had not had a bulldog before.
It's their breathing because their face, by God, has been mashed in.
But
and they're not able to breathe properly.
The great thing about this little bulldog is that we don't have to, you know, we spend nothing on toys for this dog.
This is an English bulldog, right?
Yeah, okay. Because he will play literally with an old vitamin jar. The other day, Janet said, you want to see the toy that I got for Oscar? And I said, I got another toy? Because we do have like a gazillion dog toys.
Right.
And she said, no, look at this. It's that envelope that FedEx delivered today. Come here, Oscar. And seriously, he is so goddamn funny. He picks this big envelope up in his mouth, and he walks to the side of the room, and he goes,
hey, that's it. That's good. Is he obsessed with people food at all?
Only because she feeds him all the time.
She feeds him. Does he stare at you when you're eating food all the time?
See, he knows Daddy doesn't give him that stuff.
Right? Oh, really? No. Okay. So he doesn't bother you at all?
No.
Oh, okay. All right,
no payoff.
I'm gonna work at it over the Christmas break. Just work at it a little bit because it's really just starting to irritate.
You know, Janet has a problem. A lot of people do with the dogs. If we're sitting at the table eating, and generally speaking, the bulldog will sit on this little nook area in our kitchen, and Clink will sit on the floor when we're having our meals. Well, every once in a while, Oscar will slide over by Janet. And we'll put his nose up on the table. And sometimes, you know, she will go, no, no, don't do that. And then every once in a while she goes, oh, isn't he cute?
Mm-hmm.
Then she gives him something to eat.
Right, that's it. You've ruined it right there.
And then I say to her, hey, and she looks at him and she says it just like this. Aren't you a bad boy for eating from the table?
That's right.
You know, because she doesn't have the heart.
Yeah, she's saying bad words, but she's saying in a tone. And that's what you can do to a dog.
Right.
You can say in a horrible tone, you can say, you are the most beautiful dog I've ever seen. I love you. I love you. And the dog will think you're mad at him.
I used to, my God, Frida would get so mad at me when we had our dog, Brandy. Remember the dog that was deaf?
Yes, that's right. Hello, doll.
The deaf and going blind, this poor setter. And
very, very sick.
Towards the very end, when she would just do everything she could possibly do, he could not decide if this dog wanted to go inside or outside. We would leave every door wide open.
Plus the incontinence, I remember.
Yeah. We're freezing, and there's dog crap everywhere. And this dog would stand in between the porch and inside the house.
Right.
And I would walk up to this dog. This is so awful. And we could go back and go, hi there. Are you the dumbest dog in the world? You're so stupid. You're so stupid you don't even know we're inside and outside.
And the dog is wagging its tail.
Yeah, sure. And she would look at me like, how can you do this? You are just the dumbest. And really, more than one time I said, oh, you know what Daddy's going to do someday? Daddy's going to leave the back door open, and you can just run and run and run, and don't ever come back. And
run away.
And Brandy would look at me like, oh, I love you so much.
It's all about the tone.
Right.
I haven't met a dog yet that can speak proper English. Never in my life. Well, I'm going to give Beluga some treats over the holiday, maybe some Xanax or something like that. You know? No, I'm not going to do that. No. But it would be nice to have him just chill out a little bit.
I think you can solve it with one word.
What's that?
Tabasco.
Yeah, I don't want to do that, though.
Let her have all the food he wants.
No, I don't
just
want
to fix
do
it.
That's torture. That's torture.
Is it?
Yes. Do you have a dog in your house yet?
No, I'm allergic.
Oh, you're allergic to is that true, or are you just saying that
I'm
to your
allergic
kids?
To everything but cats and horses.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a cat?
No. I tell them I'm allergic to cats.
Just a horse.
The kids are all getting horses, though, for Christmas.
All ponies. I've been there.
Still or not?
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
There you go.
Yeah, whatever happened to that pony, Hershey?
She got rid of it.
You bought for the girls.
She got rid of it. Yeah.
Oh, the plaintiff?
Yeah, she gave it away, I think. Or sold it. I'm not sure. Or sold it back to the guy. Uh-huh. I'm not sure where it went.
Too much begging from the table?
I'm not. Well, it's a pain when you have them in your house. Yeah. Now, you want to talk about a dog having an accident, but a horse does it.
Yeah.
It's nasty.
Do you remember that time we called those people that we found in the National Enquirer? The picture said, crazy family, has horse living in house, eats at the table with them.
It was like a pet. They had a horse as a pet.
Right. It was great. It was when the National Enquirer wasn't just totally focused on Brad Pitt.
Celebs, yeah.
When they would put the oddities out there for us.
They had the oddities. And these were people that legitimately had a horse that slept in the house at night. Did it sleep in the house, or maybe that was the one thing it didn't do?
They fed the horse a piece of spaghetti while we were on the telephone, and we heard the horse go.
Do you remember we did a follow-up with them about 18 months afterwards, and they would only do the interview for money?
Oh, that's right. Oh. Yeah. After they got to the big time because...
Well, it costs a lot of money to feed a horse.
It does.
I mean, when you're going to feed it people food.
And they started making... I think it was... Maybe it was back when Craig Kilborn was doing the Daily Show, that once they were on our show and a couple other radio shows,
right.
TV shows started calling. We wanted to do a follow-up, but it was like, we don't do any appearance for less than $200 because we're the family that lives with a house.
They were in dire straits. They were in dire straits when they tried to take the horse to the Olive Garden because it was part of the family. And they got in big trouble for that. But they were legitimate when we had those people. Yeah. I really liked those people.
The Olive Garden.
All the breadsticks you want.
And what if it was like back in ye olden Western times, you know, the unlimited haystack at Olive Garden.
And all the oats you want.
Sugar cubes.
That's right. When you're here, you're like a thoroughbred. Enjoy yourself.
We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
They're good.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
How much for the little girl? The women. How much for the women?
What?
You're a woman. I want to buy your women, the little girl, your daughters. Sell them to me. Sell me your children. Maitre d'. Maitre d'. You. How much for your wife?
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
My leg! Don't touch me! Get off my leg!
To get off my leg, lady.
Hey, there she is.
Oh, come on.
Shut up. I want to move on.
There is a vulgar element involved with the Don and Mike Show.
Right on. That's Dude Walker, the voice of the Don and Mike Show.
Yay.
He's going to be here tomorrow.
Cool. Oh, good.
Coming by. We're having our big annual last end of the show, Christmas Spectacular, tomorrow.
Who does not love Dude?
Including, in no particular order, the Auntie Lola story.
Wonderful.
The entire tale of Black Peter. The entire Hamburger James story.
Yay. Right.
For Charlie. All of those Beatles things and the other...
Merry Crimble, Happy Christmas, Merry Crimble, Happy...
Been a long time since we've played all of those in their entirety. There was a time... when these Beatles records that I had, were very scarce.
Rare.
But now they're everywhere. You can get copies of them virtually everywhere. And they're still great to hear, to think that the Beatles, back in the day, if you joined their fan club, you got a record.
Mm-hmm.
You got a record in the mail at home from the Beatles where they said, not to you personally, but they said, hey, you know, Merry Christmas.
And we've always found them kind of festive. I mean, they're obviously excited about their new success.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's a time gone by. And I just love those records on so many different levels. And the Beatles sound like Christmas. That's the only way I can describe
it.
When
we hear them, we always get caught up in how you can hear in the Christmas message, which they did every year for the entire time that they were a band. As the band started to fall apart.
Oh, you could tell, when they went into the acid years and all that.
When Yoko got involved, and that one time it's like, hello, this is John here.
We want to say we're really happy about everything that you've been sending us and all that.
And you compare that to the early stuff.
Where it's all the guys just cutting up in the studio. Right.
They're just the mop tops, and they're saying, you know, hey, we can't believe, keep sending us jelly beans. You're selling us.
They love that. You do. And at the end, aren't there a couple of them with actual Yoko on it? Where she's in there, right?
There's one song that came out on the very last Beatles Christmas record, 69.
Right.
And that was part of the joy of it, is that they actually made a Christmas song. Maybe it was 30 seconds long, a minute long, but there was a song. There's a song on there that we've never played all the way through because it's so unlistenable.
Yeah. Yep.
Because it's like a Yoko Ono album.
Oh. And we know what Yoko did musically.
Yeah.
Towards the end there.
little difficult to listen to.
Like that.
We don't have that alarm anymore, though.
No, we don't. We don't have the Yoko alarm.
Say the name. Say the name.
Do we have the Kerrigan alarm anymore?
Nope.
We don't have that alarm either.
Or the hammer alarm.
All been removed.
Thank God for that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don. How are you doing?
Hi, we're doing great. What's happening?
Mike, I would like to offer a little bit of wisdom on you might want to get Beluga tested for Cushing's disease. I had a dog for 12 years, and he had it, and toward the end, it was just incurable appetite. That's all he wanted to do. I mean,
wait a minute. Wait, hold on a second.
That's
a,
down the stairs.
I've had dogs. I mean, that's a dog, isn't it? That's just a dog reacting like a dog does because you feed it from the table. It's not, don't put a disease on it. That's like, isn't that typical America? Everything's a disease.
Hello.
Alcohol's a disease.
Don and Mike Joe, steroids a disease. Oh, how about Cal being on that list? Whoa.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Baltimore is all a quiver.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello. Don and Mike, Radio God.
Hi. How are you?
I am doing great today. Unfortunately, I do live in the horrible city of Sacramento.
We could tell.
Yep, could tell immediately.
Right away.
Yes. Well, I did move back.
How long have you been dumped?
Well, since I moved from South Carolina. But technically, I guess I was stupid then, too.
Okay.
All right. We've straightened that out. How may we serve you?
Forever. Being gay toward yourself.
Now, you know what's weird in this FCC world we live in? I had to delete out your question. You were asking about pleasuring yourself.
Is that considered gay?
I apologize about that.
Okay, quiet, please. Is that considered gay? That was his question.
If that's gay, I'm the world's biggest homo.
Well, everybody would be gay in that case.
We'd all be in there.
Okay. I mean, everybody would be gay.
But now, here's the thing. If you're touching yourself and you're thinking, am I gay, while you're doing that... Mm-hmm. Well, then.
Gay.
Have you ever watched yourself do it in the mirror?
Well, no, I have not.
I have.
I've said that before.
Yeah, we've said that. Buzz is with me on that one.
I've done it, too.
Have you ever done it?
No. It was you guys and Beth Ann McBride. She might do it in front of a mirror as well.
Well, I've got this great stand-up mirror. That's on a swivel. Ugh. And occasionally, I hang my belts off of it. And occasionally, it'll be angled at such an angle where I've, just caught myself. And then one time I caught myself and it wasn't quite right, so I got up and adjusted it. Look at that. I love that. That's what I like. I know when you get satisfaction out of making me look like that.
It's not the gross out factor of thinking of you watching yourself while you're doing that.
Right.
It's, I'm thinking at some point, don't be, I say this to Buzz.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. Not to you.
Thank you.
Because Buzz does this as well. Buzz is much skinnier than you or I.
Yes, yes.
Say you're in Mike's position. You're in front of some sort of a stool like.
I don't do it that way.
Or you're in bed.
Sitting on the bed.
On the bed and you're watching yourself.
Half lying on the bed.
And you're working. You're really working hard.
Right.
Don't you ever stop to look at yourself to go, my God.
I'm hideous?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I meant, no, hold on. Not for you, Mike.
Mm-hmm. No, but I mean, I do. I look at myself and I go, I'm hideous.
Anybody, if you're in that position, and I would think if you took your eyes off the prize for a moment and looked at more in the mirror than what you were looking at.
Oh, see, that's the thing that you really don't.
The big picture.
You're kind of focused on that one area, and that doesn't disappoint me. That much. It really doesn't. That I kind of look at that and go, hey, not bad.
Why do you have to look at it in a mirror, though?
Well, because it's across the room, and, it's over where the trash can is, that I didn't get up to throw the Tootsie Roll pop in.
You don't have to look.
You don't have to. It just was there.
I'm
looking, and I'm just.
Here's my point. Can't you see it, though, when you're
just look
back?
Down.
Yeah, but you can't see it from that angle.
You never get to see it from that
angle. And you know what it is? You know really what it is? I think if I can break it down and overanalyze it, which I didn't want to do, but I will, you break it down this way where you're, we're in that visual man thing where men react viscerally
men look do at that, the, women not so much.
We watch a lot of films. And when you see that, you want to look at that and say, that's what it would be like if you were in a film.
Okay.
Maybe that's how I process it. And now I feel, you've made me feel dirty.
Well, you should. It's deviant, Mike. That's deviant behavior.
Well, I've enjoyed a lot of deviant behavior over the years.
Deviant's great.
Deviant works.
You never tickled a dookie. and watch yourself, do you?
No. No.
Mike has turned away and has not answered the question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear the question.
Tickle the Duke.
Do I tickle the Duke?
And watch.
Am I answering a question with a question?
Verite.
No, not tickle the Duke. No.
Play around the Duke and watch?
No, not watch. No, no. But I've done that probably when.
You ever caught yourself like looking at Dookie when you're.
No, because I wouldn't be able to see it.
Well, no, if you were like on your back and your legs are up.
No, I've done that.
Looking at yourself in a mirror.
I've done that, but it hasn't been in any erotic sense. It's only been medicinal. You know, where I'm like, what's going on down there?
Yeah.
I've done that.
A tree grew.
I'm like, wow, what the hell? That hurts. You know, and then looked and, oh, that's what it is. You know? And
oh, Christ.
I had a, you know, I had a, like a staple down there or something. No, it was.
That wasn't right.
It was, well, long time ago. Remember when I had them? Like, I had them, like, back. 20 years ago, I swear to God, I have never looked back on that.
Just so anybody knows, Mike is not on any report. We're talking about HEMA, not STAIR.
Exactly.
He's on the HEMA list.
No, I've done that, but I've never looked in that area for erotic purposes.
No.
No. Because it's too much effort. You'd have to, I don't know where you could put a mirror to get that, to really, and I like to relax, just like when I'm doing the show, I like to recline.
Maybe this is like my hang up because I know, for instance, if I'm sitting in my porno chair and I'm going to watch Channel 593 or watch one of the videos of Buzz Guy, and in the moment when I'm sitting there with my pants at my ankles, when I go to hit play, if I can see myself in the reflection of the TV,
it kills the buzz.
It's like,
yeah. You're probably, a lot of people are probably like that.
Can't do it. Don't like to see it.
And incidentally, 593, do you notice there's been a marked increase in quality on that channel? I find that.
I bought a lot of it recently, but the last time it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I've noticed it isn't bad
and,
more often than not.
And I've thought for the longest time, I mean, I think I've mentioned at some point when we get to heaven, God might just put on like a reel of our greatest bloopers or just things that humans do that make him laugh. And I know that I've mentioned that God, when I used to have athlete's foot, when I would sit and itch it, I know I looked like a monkey itching his feet. And I know that God would show that. And maybe if God, when I get up to heaven, if God says, hey, you want a real laugh? Take a look at this. Now, we're going to use the camera that I have
Sky cam.
In the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Look at you. Look what you're doing.
Can you imagine if they did a compilation of every single time?
Don't you think
how embarrassing would that be?
Don't you think it would be like the Albert Brooks movie, Defending Your Life?
Oh, absolutely.
They would say, Your Honor, we have 11,687 times. Can we go to the videotape, please? And every time it's just.
Oh, that would be so. And all those different ways and all those different positions and times.
Places.
Place all these different places.
All the memories.
You know, Buzz has a lot of statistics. You have a lot of statistics on your newscast, but I don't believe that stat has ever been examined. How many?
In a lifetime?
Like in a lifetime.
And then I sat and really worked it.
The national average, you know, how many times people do that on average, men, women, you know? I mean, it would be, I would imagine for the average male, it would be astronomical.
You know, I will try to find the weekly or monthly average because I'm sure that's out there, and then we'll just extrapolate
it'd
it over a
it'd be easy to break out, probably.
Yeah.
What do you figure?
When I was a kid, sometimes, Jesus, you know. Three times a day.
Easily when I was a kid.
Right. Sometimes even now, you know, twice.
Right.
Rarely, but I've done twice.
Yeah.
But if you really broke it out to a lifetime average, what would you say? Would you say that particular once, twice a week, if you know, for your whole lifetime?
Seriously?
Seriously.
Over my lifetime, if you average it up? Probably 4 out of 7 days.
No way.
I swear to Christ.
4 out of 7 days?
Spent a lot of time doing that.
Really? And you're talking about like in your youth.
Yeah.
And you know, you're right with those 2 a days and 3 a days.
Here's the thing, even now. I mean, I don't do it as much now.
I don't do it nearly as much as I used to.
But sometimes I even do it after I've had sex.
Yeah.
I do.
All guys could probably say yes to that.
Because, like, a lot of times, you know, I'm ready for a second helping, and she's somewhere else, and I think, let's just see what happens.
Let's give this a try.
And then, you know,
those national stats would be mind-boggling, though.
Next thing, I'm going through the hamper. Trying to find a T-shirt or some socks. Oh, God. That grosses you out. But
Of course that grosses me out.
But you sitting nude in front of a mirror.
I didn't talk about the aftermath like you did. Finding a T-shirt or some socks.
Well, okay, let's just picture Mike nude, getting up from the bed, bending over. What do you do to clean up your leave-ins?
Towel.
Okay, well, same difference.
Or tissues.
Uh-huh. Tissues.
Mm-hmm. See, now you made me talk about it. I was trying to be dignified. You talk about looking at myself naked in the mirror. I would say the national average would be somewhere between... Seriously, between 1 and 2 times a week for life. I don't think that's
over a lifetime.
Yeah. Over a lifetime, once or because you really have to factor in.
A guy's for a guy, the average would be at least once a week.
Once a week.
Over his lifetime, even for the most undersexed guy in the world.
Right.
Yeah, the almost undersexed guy might not have a relationship, but he's with himself.
I'm sure the Pope, wax on, wax off, once a week. He does his car like Mr. Miyagi.
Right.
Wax on. Uh-huh.
Man, wax flesh on. And bone. The average national, once a week, I would say. Because when you get to, you do get to that age where it's just not that big a part of your life.
Who has
the
time?
The Pope always
Do you think
has...
Regis still does?
Yes.
I think he does, too.
I think he can't finish.
I think he probably can't, but he tries desperately. And what's wrong?
Scab.
I don't understand.
Blood.
Don't come in here, Joy. I've been in here for a... God, I've been in... No.
Regis.
I'm not finished yet.
Regis.
Come on, put up the decorations. I'm busy.
Are you in there working your man again, Reg?
Nothing's happening, Joy.
Regis.
I've been in here since 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Are you bleeding, Regis?
Yes, I am, but I don't care. I am not going to let you in until I'm finished. I bet he does.
Yeah.
You're right, though. Probably quite a challenge.
For him?
You think, though, at a certain point he goes, ah, forget it.
No, I imagine that for a guy, how old is he? Just feel about 80-something?
close to 80.
I think if he sits on his bed naked and he gets something to happen, it's like, so success.
Right. Yeah. Done. Right?
If he gets it to move.
Hey, look at that. Hang an ornament on it. All right, Joy. I'm filled with great joy right now. How old is he? Is he 76?
Nine.
Is he 79?
He's almost 80, yeah.
Is he almost 80?
Yeah, 79, right?
Sure is.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And he still works it. He still eat may on an oil it to eat say.
He should be so lucky.
Yes, sirree. Well, he keeps that youthful vitality by doing that. Some people work the treadmill. I work the man.
Gelman. I'm doing it, and... nothing's coming out.
It's not working. Can you come over here again? Thank you. Thank you. Bring those special soaps.
Is that a laxative?
Regis.
Yeah, sure. All guys do. All men do. Mm-hmm. And if they can't, they just take it out and play with it.
I think it'd be reasonable to say once a week for life, a national average.
I think even a guy like Andy Rooney, while he probably
cannot. No way.
No, hold on. Hear me out. While he cannot do anything with it. He probably at one point during the week, when he's in his refitted bathroom with the old man things to hang
railings
on the wall.
The handicap railings?
He's sitting there looking. He's going, you ever wonder
when it died?
There was a time when you were a monster in my pants.
You ever wonder why it just withers away and dies? I don't think.
He strikes me as the curmudgeon that's given up on that a long time ago.
No, I bet he still looks down. You know what? Andy Rooney.
See, I was raised around guys like that. Like, the whole Catholic thing,
A dirty, stinking man is a dirty, stinking man.
Yeah, but they get weird. Old Catholic guys, old Irish Catholic guys get into this whole...
Let's say he watches High School Musical.
Uh-huh. All right.
and he finds out that it moves. I mean, because that works.
Yeah, and isn't that the way it's supposed to work? And when you're elderly, you find out that, suddenly it'll surprise you. That occasionally things will just work that way.
And I meant when he was watching the scenes with the boys in High School Musical.
You ever wonder what gets you excited?
I was watching Zach and what's the other guy's name?
Zac Efron.
Isn't there two of those?
Zac Efron.
There's also Corbin Blue.
Isn't there like a Zach and Cody?
No, it's Corbin.
Corbin Blue and Zac Efron. I'm a big collector of memorabilia from boys' movies. Really enjoyed that.
I'm hard.
Oh, God.
I'm hard to get along with.
I'm Andy Rooney. Nothing's happening.
I've not had wood since Ronnie Reagan was in office.
I used to really enjoy watching Leslie Stahl on the set. Not anymore. Just doesn't work for me anymore at all. What I like is collecting things in my dirty office that smells like urine. That's what I enjoy now. I collect newspaper articles from the 1940s, but I smell something that doesn't smell like old musty newspapers. I was first intrigued by Spin and Marty on the Mickey Mouse Club.
All right, thanks, Rob.
Rob Spiewak writes something Mike doesn't understand, but he reads it anyway.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show. That was funny.
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
But listen to this. I'm freaking out. I looked for this animal many, many times. But here's the headline. Beaver spotted in New York City for the first time in 200 years. A beaver spotted in New York City in Bronx Park. First time on record since the early 1800s. A beaver actually has been seen in Bronx Park.
Isn't that incredible?
Can I ask you how many times Freakin' and I looked for a beaver in Bronx Park? And no, never saw it.
There's no idea what he's saying.
200 years later, beaver shows up.
It's just too funny.
What about the vagina?
Oh, that's pretty much what it was.
And I'm glad she's a dirty little birdie, though.
And as for my clothes, well, you happen to have caught me in a moment of self-pleasure. Whoops. Appreciate your discretion. That will be all.
Well, what have we here?
Is that a laxative? Not to change the topic, but have you had a colostomy lately?
They haven't killed anybody. Yet, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
We'll be talking to the great James Brown, JB, from CBS Sports here in this hour.
Wonderful.
Plus, we have a contract with Kris Kringle, so Santa is making some sort of appearance today on the show, kids.
Maybe.
Yeah, I've heard it's like a hotline now.
Huh. It's not good either.
It's a phone deal.
Wow.
But before all of that, oh, and $1,000, hey. We still haven't given away the $1,000 today.
Serious, serious money.
We'll do that at some point very shortly. Rob?
Yes, Don.
Rob, I got to tell you something. You gave me a letter from your son.
Yes, I did.
A beautiful letter that Robert demanded that Rob bring in today.
Very good.
Very nice little letter. Just said, got his name written on it.
It's perfectly laid out. I like that. Says, oh, look at that, huh?
Says Batman. Kid,
very good.
Kid loves Batman. He spells his name RTROAOR.
Well, no, he wrote all the letters as best he could, but it's RTBORT. He got them all on there. He's not big on order yet.
All right, getting the right. And I got your Christmas card, and your kids
good.
Look great on
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Yeah,
really
and I'm glad you brought that up, Mike, because I was going to mention. And I know, Rob, you won't take this the wrong way, because I love Robert. I'm so privileged to be his godfather. The Christmas card, the face that Robert is making.
It's great.
It's a face that Bobby Hill makes when he's mad at his dad, when he's mad at Hank Hill. Now, Robert, if anything, he's not like Rob. He's not like Bobby Hill. He's not
right.
a short, stubby kid.
He's really quite lean
now. Yeah. Robert is lean and tough and strong and a little machine. However, the one gene that he's gotten from Pops is the oversized head.
He has my head.
He has the melon.
There are some eerie similarities. Yeah.
And in your Christmas card, he's just got his brand new short haircut.
Right.
And your daughter's smiling beautifully. Your wife is smiling. You're smiling. And he's got a look on his face that is just priceless.
It's the best picture we had. We made a lot of stabs to get everybody looking good.
Right, yeah. Right.
And that's the best we could do. And I think if you're batting 75, it's pretty good.
That's great. No, I love the look on your camera. Julia looks great. It's fantastic.
It is cute as hell. And you can see how much he has changed.
My God, I know.
There were photos. I know everybody says this about their kids, but
right.
I'm especially fond of Robert for obvious reasons. So I get pictures of him all the time.
Right.
And When are those pictures of him and those Batman PJs taken?
Those are like probably about a year ago, but doesn't he not look like a totally different kid?
Seems impossible. I got these pictures and we had them laid out, and it's a progression of, it's Robert sitting in a chair, and he's got his Batman pajamas on.
Which he lived in for like 18 months.
And the pictures are so great because it's a progression. Rob gave me like 10 of these.
Right.
And it's a progression of them as he goes through the various stages. He's very happy, then he's agitated, then he's pouting,
right?
And then there's one where he's looking right at the camera at the very end like, okay, is this what you want?
Yeah, grinning. Exactly.
I thought the Christmas card came out great, though. Yeah, it really did.
Thank you.
He looks so much different compared to, I was standing in front of, and you were over, you saw we've got those pictures of Robert framed and hanging up. I was looking at that Christmas card going, that kid seriously does not look like the same kid from a year ago.
Oh, he's moving at like rocket speed.
It's at that age right now. How old is Robert now?
He is just turned five.
Just five. So this is the sprout time. This is when they're, I mean, really 6 months, there's going to be a lot of change.
It's really almost spooky.
You should be very happy that you sent the same kind of card out that Al Roker sent to Willard.
Yeah, I felt really good about that.
I saw that today.
As always, just trying to do everything Roker does.
Willard was making a big deal on today's show talking about Al Roker's card, and I thought, you know, what is it going to be? And it's a picture that Al Roker has with all of his family.
Right.
He's got that TV anchor wife that from New York.
Right, from ABC.
And one of his kids in the center is laughing out loud in the picture, and Willard opens up the card and says, laughing all the way. And it was the perfect little card. And,
Willard.
And then when I saw the Spiewak family also on the card, you know, similar, but nobody really laughing out loud. Perhaps next year you can choose
for
that.
It was one of those things, when, like the Hallmark thing, you open it up, instead of a song, when you open up Rob's card, it says, it says,
what makes a Nazi? How does he get that way?
They were all dressed in brown shirts.
They were. It's very nice.
Fascinating look very that handsome. Everybody
Perhaps
had on
the reason
that.
Robert looks different is the mustache.
That is a handsome family you have. It really,
Thank you so much.
Boy is just so cute.
Well, we're trying to Carla's now sending out Christmas cards from our, I think most of you know that my thoughtfulness, I don't send cards out to anybody.
You know, it's funny, when I was unpacking my Christmas stuff, I actually found a card from you that I saved.
Did you really?
Because it really was a card signed Mike O'Mara, and it didn't have money in it.
It's a rarity. I think we're sending you all cards. I can best describe it with a conversation I had with my mom last night at the end of the conversation. I should tell you one other thing she said that was highly disturbing. But before that, she said, please tell Carla, thank you for the card. I said, Mom,
she knows.
It was from Mike and Carla. And she said, well, we know. And this is how she said it to me. We know who sent the card.
Wow.
And then she, and
she
then,
does love you.
Mom!
And then 87 years young, we moved into politics, and at 87,
how'd that go?
It was we talk politics all the time, and my mom's a big Bush basher, and she tends to get very worked up about it. And she was saying, "Well, just the situation with the war right now and the economy, and I don't understand. People are making a big deal about this, and why they're not talking impeachment about this? But of course, they talked about impeachment when Clinton was in there, and that was over a." And she said it.
Did
and
she really?
I was like, she said BJ.
She said the
full world. And I went, it was immediately me going, Robert De Niro going, Mom! No, not just the bomb factor, but the 87-year-old mom. Hey, no. And then, of course, as soon as I said that.
About your mom she's still getting it done.
You know, as soon as I said that, she said, what? You're worried about the word? And she said it again, and I'm like, Mom, no, don't say that. Don't stop it. And then one other thing, like you say, well, is there any other words that would describe what they were all upset about? And I'm like, Mom, when are you going up to Kathy's for Christmas? Let's change the subject, please. No, I don't want to hear that anymore. No, that's wrong. Wrong on so many levels.
Michael.
Oh, that's a tone, too. Oh,
Michael.
God. Oh, she's great. She is. She is.
Michael, you don't want to hear this, Michael, but I have to tell you. Michael, you be quiet now. Listen to me, Michael.
Stop it.
Your father.
Oh, stop it. No.
Love a BJ.
No, stop it. No, you. Stop that right now.
That is highly disturbing.
I'm not saying that she's out getting it done now.
Of course she's not. I mean,
she could.
But probably.
Well, anybody could.
But she was so worked up in this political discussion, and she all of a sudden, I'm like, hey, stop that, please.
Your mom doesn't know about that.
Well, of course, but you know, don't we all, especially when we have elderly parents?
God, you don't even want to go there.
Oh,
it's Christmas cookies and, you know, and grandma going up to see the grandchildren and all that wonderful stuff.
It's just
Oh, you were listening. You were obviously listening in.
I never heard your dad complain.
Shut up! Stop it!
You brought it up.
I know I did. That's horrible. You know what it's like when you go in that direction with your parents and you start even thinking in those terms.
Yeah.
Mother?
It was a highly charged political discussion.
Mother, Michael and Kathy out of the house?
It's like talking about Buddy Ryan getting it done.
The Red Sox game is over, mother. Come on in and give me some of that BJ I like so much.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Oh, Bill.
I'm going to stop laughing. He'll keep going if I don't. Stop it. Stop it right now.
Oh, Billy.
Billy, yeah. I don't think those words were ever said.
Oh, Big Bill.
God. Whew. My goodness. Anyway, still every morning, 5 a.m., 5:30 in the morning, treadmill every day.
Wow.
87 years old.
Unbelievable.
Works at a hospital 3 times a week.
That's where you get it.
See, yeah, what, the work ethic?
Yeah.
Hey, I've done four days this week.
My God, you're an elephant.
I'm doing anything to change the subject now. Please, stop. Stop. Stop it. Stop it. You stop. Stop. Stop.
Michael's got to hang out with BJs.
Michael.
You know, she's saying that to your sister right now.
Kathy. You know, that's the mother-daughter thing.
Sure. Right.
We talk about anything.
Kathy, hi. It's mom. I was talking to your brother. And he about drove his car off the road. I just said the word. Well, mom, what's the matter with...
And she says, you know, he's a little repressed that way. You know him. All he's into is deviant things. Like looking at himself in the mirror. That's what he likes to do. Looking at all parts of his lower half in the mirror.
That's right.
We got a break so we can talk to the great James Brown.
Okay, thank God for the commercial break.
Let's do that.
Same
topic?
Let's remind you
to say a special hi to your mom this holiday.
Absolutely. Yes, I think that's good for everybody too, and I hope that those words never are exchanged.
What, BJ?
Not from your mom. Mom!
Michael. They're just words.
James Brown coming up next on the show.
JB.
JB. Yes, of course. Don't twist that around, Buzz.
Right.
Oh.
JB. Well, Michael, that reminds me.
Yes, it's because that's all she talks about now. All the time.
Your dad was insane.
Oh, stop it. Stop. God.
Oh, my goodness. When he came back.
You see this? I'm going to wash your mouth out. You see, that's Purell.
When he came back
from
WW2.
I'm going to wash your mouth out with Purell right
four
here.
Four times a day, Michael.
All I do is speak the truth.
I'm amazed we had any children.
I speak the truth.
That's all your father wanted to do. Never intercourse.
That's a lot.
I was just trying.
Oh, God. Oh, this one will be going down to Florida with me. That's for sure.
I'm your mother. Oh. I can't talk to you about... Who can talk to you about that, Michael?
This is funny. Oh, I will remember this laugh for a long time. This is a good laugh to have on the last show before they fire me tomorrow.
And Michael?
Yes.
Why do you look at yourself in the mirror?
None of your business. Mom!
All right, we'll be back with the great James Brown. Uno momento.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Looks like baby vomit.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
A bitter cold night. The Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. Not on camera now. Where in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9. The Don and Mike Show.
Clean on the outside, but filthy and diseased on the inside. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right, right. We got the great James Brown on one of these songs. Let's see if we got his music ready. The CBS. CBS music. There we go. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. JB James Brown. How the AG double toothpicks are you, JB?
Well, first of all, I take issue with that introduction of my good friends Don and Mike. Filthy on the outside and diseased on the inside.
Yes. Now,
you know, I know you guys to be wholesome all the way through.
You right. can tell that we've interviewed you only over the phone for all these years, JB.
Maintaining a good relationship.
Absolutely.
A wonderful marriage. And before we get started, hey, Don, do know that my thoughts and prayers are with your dad as well, too. And I just wanted to get that you know, said, but it's true.
So. You're great. Guy JB, thank you so much.
You guys all right?
You don't forget any details. Yeah, we're doing great. I did have something I wanted to mention to you though before we talk football and everything else. It's about the JB Awards.
Okay.
Now, these things happen here in Washington D.C. every single year for JB's charity.
Wonderful. And you guys are front and center this year, right?
Well, wonderful organization.
Now JB. Hold on. I just want to tell you something.
Hey, you know what? I can see it coming. And that's why I love you guys, because you guys are equal opportunity abusers.
I'm gonna tell you.
Hold on. Let me pull my gym shorts up now. Go ahead. Okay.
put your cup on, because
okay.
I'm going to call your bluff. Here's
okay.
the deal.
Okay.
So every year JB's got these things, and he comes on the show. He's like, Don and Mike, love you. My brothers, we talk about race. We talk about football. We talk about God. We talk about life.
Right.
You guys are great. We love JB. He's got these awards. We never get invited. Last year, we mentioned it to him. We say, you got the JB Awards.
We gave him a little hard time about it.
He says, Don and Mike, I want to tell you something. Next year, you're there.
Right.
Rob came in to me, I guess it was last week, and said, hey, I just got something from JB's assistant, Elizabeth.
Yes.
I said, oh, really? He said, it's about the JB Awards next year.
I got here coming to buy a table.
And, yeah. And I said, I swear to God, I said, Ed JB is one grade A guy. Mm-hmm. God, he didn't forget. And Rob said, yeah, you're welcome to come as long as you buy a table for $5,000.
Hey, which is per diem for you guys. Absolutely.
And JB.
I just think it goes for a great cause. Special Olympics, D.C. and the whole. Hey, look here. I don't even get a fee for doing this, you know. That's what you're supposed to do, right?
This is what I was going to tell you. This is for a charity. Mm-hmm. I've been blessed to make a pretty decent living.
Mm-hmm. Bet you have.
I will buy the table. Bring my friends, but you cannot shun us. You must parade us among the people that you're ashamed to have that you're ashamed to let know that you know us.
Consider it done. If not, I would expect you guys to stand up with placards and the like and heckle me and call me all kinds of names if I don't give you guys.
Now
your
you'd be surprised, JB. We actually dress up really nice.
Oh, I know you do.
We really do.
You know what? Honestly, this has been a wonderful, mutually beneficial relationship. I tell you the truth, I have been more places, and I have had folks across all walks of life stop up and ask, when are you going to be on Don and Mike again? Oh, did you hear what Don and Mike said about you? And I mean, you guys are unbelievable.
Indeed we are, JB.
Oh, have I used that yet?
No, last week during the show, but who's counting?
But we are diseased on the inside.
And,
that is true.
And very seriously, JB, if it's the Special Olympics. That's the charity that gets the money for your award show. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Consider it done. Tell Elizabeth, I'm in. I'll buy a table for the cats on the show.
$5,000. Well, thank you. I didn't know you were going to do that until just this very moment.
No, I'm serious, because I want to call JB on this.
Well, sure.
You know what? It is done. As a matter of fact, we have a host committee meeting next Wednesday. Don and Mike somehow will be prominently talked about and discussed in that meeting, without a doubt.
And here's exactly what JB will say. All right, listen. There are these two crackers that I'm on their show once in a while. And
make sure you give them the table that has the plastic sheeting underneath it.
And for God's sakes, first off, make sure that this guy's check doesn't bounce. But on the chance that the check is good.
See if we can get a money order from him.
The only way that comment will be made is if I get saltine-free crackers that come across from me to eat, you understand?
Saltine-free.
It will be done with love for you guys.
Well, that's JB. Great. Now I'm very, very excited about that.
I would be happy to do that to help out. You've been a great friend. And it's great charity you have, and and if I have to pay $5,000 so that we can finally be friends, I'll do it, because that's the kind of guy I am.
I am so humbled that you guys would attend. I really mean that. This will be an absolute pleasure for me, and I've said it before. I told Rob several times, anytime you guys call, I don't care what I'm doing, where I am, I want to be here. And the only reason we didn't do it tomorrow is because I'm going to be on the train heading to – do you know my odysseys to New York the last few weeks, three out of the last four times? And I shouldn't say this, given that Amtrak is looking at me to possibly do some kind of promotional work for them.
Hey, oh, really?
The money train just keeps rolling for you, doesn't it?
No. That probably means like a couple of upgrades, you know. I have had some odysseys, but it's still better to have gone through those odysseys on the ground, because the people have been just superb at Amtrak. Wonderful.
Well, JB, heading into the holiday season, we got the last 3 weeks of the NFL season happening. Everybody, of course, wants to talk about nothing but the New England Patriots. I had two questions for you about them real quick. First, what is this I'm hearing about maybe the whole thing with taking pictures and movies started with the Jets, that the Jets did it first? Have you heard that?
I have heard that, which is why there's so much intrigue surrounding this game here. Yeah, you know, look, teams and players and coaches have pushed the envelope for years. Some of this is just now starting to come to light. And even as I thought through this, make no mistake about it, I do not take it lightly, nor have I dismissed it in terms of what Bill Belichick and company engaged in with the whole Spygate bit. You know, that's not the right signal to be sending, no pun intended, to young people especially. But the Patriots, as an organization, they have been the model by which most people are trying to pattern themselves after. And Bob Kraft, whom I happen to have an awful lot of regard for, look, they get it done. They've got some smart people doing a job up there.
Do you get the sense in the league, as I do, that there's just – they're respected. Yes, they're respected because they're a great organization. But they're not revered. They're not loved. I mean, you've had organizations where it was, hey, you know, it's a good organization. I use Indianapolis as an organization where you look at them and you see the way Tony Dungy runs his program and you say, man, you know, they're a good group of guys. I get between the lines a little bit the sense that there's a little bit of bad blood between the Patriots and the rest of the league. Do you feel that, too, when you go around?
You know what? From the last poll that I've seen in terms of the number of people who respect them or want to see them go down, in terms of respect, you know what? You have to respect what they've done as winners. That is clear. In terms of revered, no. And I think a lot of that has to do, again, with the persona of the head coach, who is the front guy.
Right.
He's the one who does most of the quote-unquote talking, which, you know, is very terse, to say the least. But a lot of that has to do with him. But that's okay. The other part of that is human nature. Anytime you have a team that's dominating like this, and in a league where there is design parity,
yeah,
as it is in the NFL, they have been the closest thing to a dominant team of this past decade. You're going to get that anyway. People want to see the big guys shot down.
Well, I've done a 180 on them from the beginning of the year, thinking that they were running up the score on teams. Now I find myself rooting for them. I mean, because when you see the players interviewed,
right,
you know, you realize these are just guys, and now they're breaking down enough to the point where they're saying, hey, it would be nice to go 16-0.
And
oh, sure.
I like that honesty, and as far as the players are concerned, how can you not but like the guys? Individually, they are, or collectively, they're good guys. And you know what? I know some of the hubris that we might see, folks might think, well, you know what, that's reason enough to dislike them. No, these guys have gone out, and they've flat out proven it. This is not a deep and talented league. Let's be clear about that. But they certainly have been awesome in what they've got. Now, they've got vulnerabilities, certainly that linebacking core, not the swiftest in the world, but nobody has been able to capitalize on that. And you mentioned the Indianapolis Colts before. While many people might have them as a third or fourth best team in the league, they quietly have gotten it done,
yes,
without a number of key players, not the least of whom is Marvin Harrison, who's missed 8 weeks. Dwight Freeney's gone by the wayside. Tony Dungy and staff have really done a good job with them, and I would like to see that rematch. I think it would be just awesome.
You're going to see it. Here's a tip for you. We tried to give this tip to Jim Nantz last week, and he didn't take it. If you need to show another side of Bill Belichick, if you go to YouTube and you type in Cooking with Bill Belichick.
Back when he was with the Cleveland Browns.
You get a video segment from when he was the coach of the Browns.
Wow.
And he's wearing a Browns hoodie, and he's standing in front of a big logo, and he makes a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I
mean, it's great.
If you want to, throw it in there.
He appears to be almost human.
Wow.
He truly does.
And the other thing, JB, got to ask you, what are people saying about this scumbag coach in Atlanta? The way I heard it is that Monday night, Arthur Blank says to him, listen, I'm going to go on TV tonight, and they're going to ask me about you. And this guy looks at Arthur Blank and says, shakes his hand and says, you got a coach. Arthur Blank goes on TV and says, I love this guy. He comes in the next day, quits with no notice.
Mm-hmm.
What is your take on that?
Everything that you just implied and how you characterize it, you know, you can't do that. And I don't know Arthur Blank all that well. We have talked on a couple of occasions, but from everything that I see in him and certainly have heard about him and in a couple of conversations I've had with him and certainly through Coach Gibbs, you know what? The guy really has a good heart. He is pro-fan. He is pro-player. He's pro-coaches. I think he deserves better than that. I mean, he's got an absolute mess on his hands. Tony Kornheiser really asked him a great question in terms of his retail success.
Yes.
You know, but now how does he get people back into the store down there in Georgia with, you know, the whole Michael Vick fiasco and now the coach situation? He's got a real conundrum in front of him. But I like Arthur Blank. Let me go on record. I like him a lot.
You're not hearing any rumblings that that there might have been something else at play here with this coach of the Falcons, that there, you know, there was bad blood between the owner and the coach, or there was some player personnel issues that we didn't hear about? Is there anything
under
the
surface? Some guys just can't handle it.
You know, what? I haven't heard any of that, not to say that it did not exist, but hey, you know what? He's stepping up, Bobby Petrino, stepping up to the big time, and he absolutely walked into a flat-out mess. Could not have been a worse situation to walk into, but given that he did do that, could not have had a better owner behind him going to see him through that no matter. And the same can't be said in terms of what's happening with Cam Cameron down there with the Miami Dolphins and how they are winless and what may happen to him. Wayne Huizenga as an owner is the kind of guy who gives you everything to get it done and stays out of your way. That's a tough situation down there for Cam. But no, Bobby Petrino had every bit of support that he could have hoped for in ownership in the person of Arthur Blank.
All right, then the last thing about this, if you are Arthur Blank and you're the coach of this team, you got to have a no BS guy as your next coach. Do you throw all that money at Bill Cowher? Do you go for Marty Schottenheimer? He's got to go with a known commodity, right?
Yeah, it would make sense for him to do that. I think more fundamental than that, he's got to get some players in there, especially somebody who's a home run hitter. What he had, and it's such a shame, Michael Vick, even though he was still maturing as a quarterback, he had not arrived. But in terms of all of the God-given assets he brought to the table, he was the most electrifying player in the National Football League. It was a happening in Atlanta. How sad to see it all come crumbling down like that. Can he find somebody of that ilk? I don't see anybody on the horizon right now, but he's got to get some players down there. Winning will cure a lot of that if they can get it going. Yes, a coach who won't take any nonsense. Now, some of these guys, the players, will test it. You know what? You flat out can't have that.
Well,
Bill Cowher was player-oriented, but he didn't tolerate any mess either.
Well, look at what D'Angelo Hall did this year. He was screaming at Pitino on the field in that game where he had like 30 yards of penalties.
Mm-hmm.
A coach like Cowher would, or like Bill Parcells.
A disciplinarian.
You know, hey, shut up, go sit down.
Exactly.
And thank goodness you had a couple of players who were trying to grab him. You will have some hotheads like that, but the coach has to be respected. And if disrespected on the sidelines like that, it has to be restored in terms of whatever the punitive action is going to be, unquestionably.
All right, and then the last thing that I wanted to ask you about was this game, the last game of the year with the Patriots. Let's say that they win this week and they win next week. The last game of the year is on the NFL Network. Now, I saw Jack Kemp on TV today, and I'm thinking,
it's a Thursday night game?
Yeah. I'm thinking, why is Jack Kemp on TV about this? Here was his point. If the Patriots are about to go 16-0, this is something that as a nation we want to see.
Got it.
The main thing with the NFL is that you can always get it on TV. I know that there's pay-per-view and everything else, but shouldn't the NFL take this game and say, for the public good and for PR, we're going to let other stations broadcast this game? What do you think, JB?
You know what? If Mr. Goodell ever decides to step down, you would be wonderful as the next commissioner. And, you know, I'm sorry, I can't embellish it more. Absolutely correct.
But then, okay, why won't they do that, JB?
Well, you know, obviously the hand is being forced to try to see if they can get up enough public groundswell to force, you know, the cable operators, in fact, you know, to carry them. But that's not going to happen. And why penalize the public? The only people who are hurt right now behind that are the fans. Don't do anything to ruin that relationship. It's going great guns right now. Let's not have this step in the way and ruin it.
And the NFL Network is the NFL's channel, right? I mean, owned by the NFL, so they can put it on another network if they want to.
They absolutely could. And I understand all the financial incentives associated with such and how they're trying to build a product that's going to be that attractive to get it going as another source of revenue for the owners. I understand all of that. But in the near term, don't go, you know, cutting off your nose to spite your face. That would be a bad move, especially if the scenario you just painted is about to unfold. You know what? Fans deserve that.
And you know what? Last thought on this. If we had gone through some sort of tragedy as a nation like 9/11, okay, you know the NFL Network would say, we care about the psyche of the American people. Mm-hmm. We're going to give this to them. Hey, come on. Wake up. Wake up. Give it to us.
It's going to be the big story of the year. It's going to be bigger than the Super Bowl.
JB, will the Patriots go undefeated?
I thought by now that they would be tripped up. As a matter of fact, I just wrote an editorial for the radio network. I thought it would have happened by now. In terms of the regular season, obviously the only competitive contest on the schedule on paper remains the New York Giants. They have the ability because of their defensive front four, but I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think any team's going to knock them off in the regular season. Regular season, I see them going undefeated.
All right, you got it. JB, as always, it's great talking to you. Have a very great Christmas and much love to you.
Hey, I look forward to talking to you guys after the new year. How long is your break now? 6 weeks? You guys are off?
16. 16 weeks.
You know, we got to cut it short because I got to pay $5,000 to your friend.
Well, he does such a nice job of tying it up. But you guys will get your pub.
We'll be doing car washes right up until the date of the event.
Hey, I love you guys.
Love you too. Merry Christmas, JB.
Bye-bye. Same to you guys. Bye-bye.
There he goes. That's JB. Always, always right on it. Always right on it. I love talking to him.
I'll just say what everyone's thinking about James Brown.
What's
right?
that?
What a dick.
I know.
Right.
What are you going to do? And hey, thank you for that. That's very nice. We're all excited about that.
Cool.
We get to put on our grown-up clothes and go to a function, right?
Everybody around a monkey suit. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean a tuxedo. I mean, literally, we all should
rent
gorilla suits.
You're popping for the $5,000 for the table. I will provide us all with flowers. Little boutonnieres. Little boutonnieres for all of us.
I prefer a wrist corset.
Because that's the kind of guy I am.
Why don't you just wait on that?
Yes.
Until you have your meeting tomorrow.
I might not be able to pop for the flowers.
Because you may not be able to pop for the flowers.
Exactly.
All right, what?
We could all split a wrist corsage.
Yes, a lovely wrist corsage. Yes, you old queen. That'll be fun. That'll be like kind of, you know, we can't behave like we did at Wayne Newton.
Different deal.
It'll be a little more reserved.
But I tell you what, it will be interesting because I guarantee we're the only guys.
Who will be looked down upon?
Well, we're the only guys who know JB who had to buy tickets to get in.
It'll be like that tape you played early in the show from a wonderful film that we know as The Blues Brothers. When they go into...
How much for the women?
Yeah. The little girl, I want to buy her. Sell her to me.
Maitre d'.
And we'll be eating shrimp the same way, too. I hope they have shrimp.
We'll say to JB, if we don't get our $5,000 back, we're sitting at this table all night long.
Maybe you and I should wear those pastel-colored tuxedos like Dumb and Dumber. Come walking in fighting with the sticks.
What if we did come in dressed like Jake and Elwood?
Yeah.
With
the sunglasses on.
Narrow ties.
Yeah, that's no butter. Just dry. Dry white toast, ma'am.
Four fried chickens.
Four fried chickens. Jake. Elwood. My man. Santa Claus time, everybody. Santa Claus. Now.
We're on the mission from God.
We have a contract with Santa Claus.
That's right.
He's supposed to be on the show and spend 15 minutes with us on our last show before our big Christmas show tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
All I can say is that he ain't here.
But he will be live.
This sucks. On a telephone.
Oh. It's the North Pole hotline.
Phoning it in.
Yeah, on a telephone.
It's the North Pole hotline.
All right, we will talk to the fat man.
Hopefully.
Bring it right, or his answering machine.
Well, he's got an assistant that's working with him.
Well, we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
You're awful funny, aren't you?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Incidentally,
I know how you feel about all this Christmas business, getting depressed and all that. It happens to me every year. I never get what I really want. I always get a lot of stupid toys or a bicycle or clothes or something like that. What is it you want? Real estate.
The Don and Mike Show.
Christmas is not about being with people you like. It's about being with your family.
Merry f***ing Christmas.
There it is. From the Don and Mike Show.
Best Christmas song ever. Better than Mariah Carey. Better than your Bing Crosby. It's the best.
This was number one with a bullet, wasn't it?
Spectre song.
Hey.
Little Mike O'Mara, everybody.
Thank you very much. I'm here all week, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and J-Yimin.
It's Santa time.
Yeah,
it's Santa.
You'll remember
time.
That all day, won't you?
I will.
Yes.
Well, your mom said it to you.
I know she did.
And bless her.
Listen,
Santa's not here.
Right.
So we got a number where we call Santa.
Okay. They tell us it's a hotline. That's what they say.
It's not going to be the same.
I'm not sure, you know, whether it is or it isn't.
All I know is we're getting that weird sound already.
Well, I have no idea why that is.
Call on the freaking North Pole.
Hello? That's better.
Much better.
Okay, let me see.
Hopefully it'll work fine.
Hang up. Hello, Robbie?
Just hang up bank one.
Okay. Beautiful. Thank you for the help there, Robbie.
You calling the North Pole, Don?
Welcome to the Santa Claus Hotline. This is Santa. Oh, ho, 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 ho.
Hi, Santa.
All the way up here at the North Pole. If you would like to hear Santa's special Christmas message, press 1. Boys and girls, it's Christmas time, and this is Santa Claus wishing all of you a very Merry Christmas.
This sucks.
Oh, ho, 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 ho.
Hey, we were supposed to get to talk to the real Santa Claus.
What to hear got? Santa's special recorded message for all the boys and girls, press 2. Boys and girls, this is Santa again, reminding all of you to be good to your mother and father and do what you're told and you'll get something wonderful for Christmas.
How do we talk to Santa Claus?
To hear a special live conversation with Santa Claus that has been pre-recorded, press 3. Hello, this is live Santa saying Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night. Ho, 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 ho. To speak live with Santa right now, one-on-one, press 4.
Oh, no.
Hello, Santa? Santa?
Hello?
Don and Mike Show, Santa. That's Claus. Who's Don that? And Mike Show.
I don't, I don't have time.
Hey, we have a contract, old man.
Hold on a second. Let me just get up for a second. I want to get off the couch. Jesus.
I'll tell you then.
It's the radio. It's the radio efforts.
Yeah, right. It's a contract, yeah. Fat man.
I
You got a contract with us, Chris. Hey, Black Peter. Kringle.
There we go. Okay. All right. I'm ready to go. What do you got? What do you got? Who's this? Who am I? You got the Santa Claus on.
Chris.
Online.
Chris.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, I'm
Chris,
here. I'm
it's
here.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, no.
It's December 13th.
No.
Where the frig are you?
I'm not there. I mean, you know where I am.
Where?
Where? Do you know where you are, Santa?
The pole. I'm at home. I'm on my home.
No, you're not.
I'm in a hotel.
Are you with Asian hookers again?
I'm in a hotel, not currently. I chased them away.
Oh, no.
I'm so sad.
Oh, why are you sad, Santa?
This is the most depressing time of the year for me. All it is work, and then the big night, and I just can't. I can't drink enough. I can't take enough drugs. I can't do enough heroin without. It's crushing me. The whole thing is crushing me. Don't you understand?
Hey, Santa.
Oh my God! Is this
Chris?
Is this Bob or Tom?
Chris,
huh?
Chris, it's Don and Mike.
Oh, Don and Mike.
Chris, hold
yeah,
on.
Of course.
Maybe I can snap you out of this
phone. All right, yeah.
Chris.
Yeah, I'm here.
How's business this year?
Oh, my God. Have I said this yet? Thank God for the internet. Thank God for the internet. Thank God for the internet. I swear to God, our sales are through the roof. Listen, don't buy any of this crap you hear from all the people on TV saying the economy's in the crapper. It is most definitely a big year up at the NP. We are seriously raking in the dough hand over fist. It's too good. But the problem is not the money, Don.
What's the problem, Santa?
The problem is my emotional well-being. My emotional well-being is in the toilet. Can I ask you some questions?
May I ask you one first?
Yeah, you go ahead.
Are you still mobbed up?
Of course I'm mobbed up. Why do you say it on the radio?
Every year don't we have this discussion?
Merry Christmas!
You gotta take the mob out of the operation.
Mob is not coming out of the operation. They don't go, Don. It's not like you hook up with these people and then they go voluntarily. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Santa Claus, did the mob or did the mob not cut off one of your fingers over a gambling debt?
When they reattached it, it doesn't move like the other ones, but it doesn't. When I wear the white gloves, you can't even tell. Right. Why do you insist? Jesus, why do you insist on bringing up the mafia?
Oh, hold on.
No. Did we lose the line?
That apparently was my fault.
I have no idea what happened there. We were having a nice conversation.
I know that, but I have big Fred Flintstone fingers.
We'll have to call the hotline again and find out exactly what's going on.
My sincere apologies.
Kind of on the edge. I don't know what happened with that.
Handle this hang-up.
I hope we don't have to go through that series of numbers.
That was a very, very strange thing. Well, I think he was making it up about the hotline, Rob.
Hold on.
Oh,
red hot.
Hey, I didn't mean to hang up on you, Chris.
Hey, how are you? All right, please, Don.
Sorry, Chris.
On the Afia May, I can't talk about that, okay? Right. You understand what I'm saying? Let's talk about good things like joy and goodwill towards men and presents under the tree and coming down the chimney, not things like mafia and chopping fingers off and all that. Let's talk about Santa's night last night, which was just about the best, the 11th day of Christmas or whatever the hell it was. I'd like to thank Suki and Yoko for providing Santa with a great deal of Christmas cheer.
Wow, Santa.
Oh, my God, it was fantastic. Have you ever gone around the world with two girls? Oh, my God.
How's that gout?
Oh, the gout is fine. They're not going to amputate like they were last year, but it's blue. It's blue like a blue Christmas light. The whole foot from the heel down to the end of the right toe is completely discolored, and the doctors tell me, well, they're elf doctors, so they're not normal doctors. They tell me that it's going to be fine and that I will not have use of the foot, but I'll be able to keep it on, so I'll be able to put on Santa's boot, his big black patent leather boot that he wears. Oh, what's that? Oh, it was surprise time. I don't remember eating corn. Wow.
Enjoy it a second time.
Isn't that nasty? How are you? Could you send me over some wine, Don, for Christmas?
Is it true?
Would you like to send Santa a present?
Chris?
Yeah, hold on. What?
Chris, were you at a party?
Yeah.
Did you slap a kid?
Look, the whole thing mushroomed out of control after that. What's his name? Billy Bob Thornton did that movie.
Yeah,
I didn't.
Fred Claus.
I didn't.
Bad Santa.
I pinched his cheek. That's what I did. I pinched his cheek, and when I pinched his cheek, he screamed in terror because he's a little overfed, overpampered, self-esteem-laden little pussy, and he got totally out of whack, and they said, did you hit him? I said, I didn't hit him, and I'm out of here. I do not do that. If the kids are going to bitch me out, I'm not going to sit there and take the crap at this time of year.
Is he silly?
It's not going to happen. I'm Santa frickin' Claus. Do you understand who I am?
I know. Is the kid suing?
No. We settled, sort of. Lifetime gifts. Lifetime gifts up to the age of 18. Excuse me. Wow, that's Campbell's Chunky Soup, if you know what I mean. Yes, sir, Don!
May I ask you another business question?
Yes, go ahead.
How's things going with the Japs? How you doing with Nintendo this year?
They're fine. I've never had a problem. problem with the Japanese. The problem, of course, is with the Chinese end of things, where the paint and all the other colors that they put on these. I tell them, listen, if you're going to save a penny on a little toy army man, you're not going to save a penny at the expense of giving some poor child that's out in Albuquerque in New Mexico brain damage. It's just not going to be good. You can't do that. Right. They don't understand. They haven't been at it long enough. They haven't been manufacturing my toys long enough. What they do is they exploit their workers to make cheaper products, but they don't understand, please, the finished product cannot be poisonous. You understand? You know where I'm coming from, right?
I know. You're a businessman, Chris.
Oh, my God. The problem was after my Labor Day fall. Blood came out of every opening I had.
Wow.
I was, it was amazing. They rushed me to the North Pole Medical Center. I was bleeding to death. It was a very difficult situation. And of course,
Didn't you pay $1,000 for 10 Percocet?
Well, it didn't get me halfway through the next day. It was so frustrating because right now I've got an under-the-skin pain monitor that helps me with my knees. Can I give you just a brief list? If you want to know how good your Santa Claus is, very quickly.
All right, sure.
Very quickly, if I may. Mm-hmm. This is Santa Claus from the bottom up, okay? I told you I've got the blue foot that's got the gout.
Gout, right.
And it's diabetes. I'm a diabetic. I've been a diabetic for 130, 140 years.
Whose fault is that? Who refuses to change his diet, Santa?
You live up in my climate, Buster Brown, and you try to not eat a high-fat diet, okay? You try not to eat caribou stew 6 nights a week. I'll tell you that.
All right, Beatty's boy.
Now, of course, I have two knee replacements, two hip replacements. I have and here's the big one that no one knows about. Wow. I, your St. Nicholas, has an artificial eye. It moves, though, and the kids can't even tell.
Wow.
It's
gross.
Really wonderful.
That's gross.
And I also I have a transplant. Rob Spiewak writes, I had a transplant that was 60% successful. I actually have part, not the whole, but part of a reindeer liver.
Wow.
And I am doing great. I have two parts reindeer, one part baboon.
Oh.
And I could not feel better. And, of course, I am wearing the bag. You know, the bag. It's red. It's red, but it's not red because of blood. It's red.
Colostomy bag.
My colostomy bag. Have you had one yet?
No.
Have you had a colostomy yet? Oh, that's Regis Philbin. I listen to you on the internet all the time. I really do when I'm not surfing porn.
Hey, listen to this.
Yes.
Have you heard these tapes, Santa?
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Oh, the Kid Toucher show.
I'll just be your secret lover.
Yeah, I watch that show all the time. Lock those guys up.
I carry a gun everywhere I go.
Hey, Santa, got a message for you from one of the kids.
You guys kill me. Yeah, let's hear it.
Here's a message from one of the kids.
All righty.
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
You bleeped it. You bleeped it. You did that thing you do. Yeah. You bleeped it, but he really said, well, how can I do it? I know how it works. Hey, it's raining outside. It's really wet.
Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, you guys kill me.
Oh, I swear to God.
When's the next time you're doing strip trivia?
We just did it last week.
Yeah, you missed
it. Oh, no. Are you kidding me? I must have been down in the warehouse making toys. Oh, I swear to God.
Come on, you liar. When's the last time you made a toy?
I don't make toys. Listen, I'd love to continue our conversation, but the Santa Man is starting to he's receiving the effects of a very, very large dose of some very quality heroin that he just put in his arm.
Santa, would you have a message for the little ones out there? I know you're kind of effed up, but...
Work it up.
What?
A message for the kids.
No,
come on.
No, you don't understand.
You have a contract, dude.
I just.
You? I don't care what you just shot in yourself.
You know how it works.
You have a contract.
All right. Oh, ho, ho, ho. For all the little kids, Santa Claus wants you to be good. How's that? Is that all right? Is that okay for you? Does that work for you, Donnie? Donnie, does that work for you? Are you feeling it, man?
You're an addict.
Oh,
Santa,
man.
You're an addict. I
feel like Christopher Moltisanto.
We have to have an intervention here.
Yeah, I don't want no intervention. I'm doing fine. I'm doing A-OK. You got nothing on me, man. I'm Santa. I'm the fat man. You take it up to the North Pole with me, and I'm delivering all the toys with all the pretty colors, all the lovely... Oh, Santa colors. Oh, hey, do me a favor.
Yeah.
You tell O'Mara I'll meet him at the Venetian on February 27. All right, you pass that date along to him?
I'll pass that along to Mike.
You going to JB's thing? I heard you were popping for it.
I got to pay for a table, yeah.
You got an extra large seat for yours truly?
Yeah, yeah.
I will not wear black tie. I will not wear black tie. I will wear a Hawaiian shirt.
I love your Santa Hawaiian shirt.
That's all I wear after the big day. You got that right. Burbank still believe in no God?
Yeah.
Oh, he ain't getting nothing this year. Nothing his wife don't buy him. That's for sure. You know, my Santa grammar's gone real bad over the years. Yeah, that Burbank ain't got nothing on me. I got no time for that crap. I got no. Santa don't play that way.
I don't even have an opinion.
Pulp Fiction! My favorite movie. Hey, honey, bunny. Oh, that is a great movie.
Prank call, prank call, prank call.
Zed is dead. Zed is dead. F that noise.
Well, Santa, it's been great talking to you.
It's always a slice of heaven, Don. You know I love talking to this radio show more than any other one. And
you're
I
a
am
big liar.
Relax right now. I really enjoy this. I want to say I appreciate what you're doing for the Grease Man. Listen, I got a roll. You be good.
Bye, Chris.
You be good. We'll see you on the big night.
Okay, bye, Chris.
Bye. No, I'm glad that's over. Oh,
man. Who
are couple of guys from D.C. There's a couple of guys from D.C. Both of them real pricks. Don't like them at all. Listen, would you do me a favor? I got a problem with my prostate. Can you help a brother out? Yeah, the applicator's on the table. Thank you. Yeah, right there. Right there. Attaboy.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Hot damn tamale. Oh, you got it.
That's it.
Wow.
A visit from St. Nick.
My goodness.
He had some elf giving him some sort of injection.
I distinctly heard an elf in the background.
Yeah.
It's highly disturbing.
Sure was.
I think he's better than last year.
He sounded like he was in and out of being good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not sure what he's up to.
Amazing. Hi, everybody. Yeah. This is the news.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi.
Oh, it's time for the news.
Yes.
And you know what it's time for? It's time for...
Oh!
Giving away money.
Yeah. A $1,000 winner.
Good stuff.
Cool. Won't even make it hard for you. Call number 100. That's it. $1,000 right now.
I gave him $1,000.
Would that make your Christmas, huh? Imagine what you could do with that. Uh-huh. You could buy 1/5 of a table at the James Brown, whatever the goddamn charity is thing.
Yes, it's for Special Olympics, Don. It's all for a very good cause.
I'm all about that, Mike.
I know you are.
Phone number 877-365. It's tax deductible, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Welcome.
Then I'm there.
Welcome.
877-365.
Welcome.
Welcome to the JB Awards.
Oh, no.
Hi, I'm Don. This is my friend Mike.
Hello.
Say, young man, can you do any impressions?
And guess who else is here? Jimmy Stewart. Well, I'm Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah.
The show, I'm showing you how to cut apples.
That's right, son.
But we digress, don't we?
Call now. All right, listen to you animals. Here we go, $1,000. That'll make your Christmas. 877-365-3636. And for God's sakes, please try to work it up a little bit. If you're the winner.
Yes, that's a serious amount of money, and we want a serious reaction.
If you're the winner, please, you know, get hard. Buzz?
Yes.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
All right, $1,000 winner. News coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Welcome back to What's the Buzz. You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen. We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
The Don and Mike Show.
Buzz.
Tell me about the buzz.
You, me, bar, beers, buzz.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
What's the word from Planet Krakow?
They webbed you. That means you got the Don and Mike Show.
Money, that's what I want.
Just give me money. That's all I want.
Now, ready for a call? caller number 100.
Yeah.
Here we go. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Hank.
Hey, what's happening? Who's this?
Name's Phil.
Where are you from, my friend?
From Tyson's Corner.
Oh, boy, I'm worried about the enthusiasm level here.
You have won $1,000.
You're kidding. I'm not a dollar.
You have won the $1,000.
Hello? Hello?
People really do win money on the Don and Mike Show.
Yes, it's awesome. You really have won. What do you think?
I think it's awesome, dude.
There you go.
That's great. Okay. What's your name again?
Name's Phil.
Phil. Congratulations, McCracken. Phil.
Phil, thank you so much for listening.
Awesome. You guys are the best.
You're the big winner of the day, Phil.
No, you're the best, Phil.
Phil, the thanks.
$1,000 and our thanks for listening, Phil.
Thank you.
Hoot and holler, you got $1,000 in your wallet.
Woo!
Yeah, baby.
Yeah! I love you!
Right on. Watch the station that rocks your world.
What?
Exactly.
That's good. What's your number one for music and fun? What's the station that reaches the beaches and rules the pools? If anyone ever asks you to name your favorite radio show and your favorite radio station, your favorite radio city,
what Don and Mike say? Show.
That's right. Yeah,
Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike are awesome.
Right. $1,000.
Woo!
All right, there you go. That's good. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bottle that.
That was perfect.
Bottle a little of that magic.
Merry Christmas, textbook. Jackass.
Well, another $1,000 winner tomorrow.
Another gift.
The excitement is palatable,
sure
huh?
Sure is.
Another gift given. Another life made.
Right.
How about that? Isn't that something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Buzz tonight brought to us by Mervis Diamond Importers and eDiamonds.com. Find a little brilliance.
Brilliant.
With a pair of diamond stud earrings from eDiamond.com. It's www.e-diamonds.com or call 1-800-HER-LOVE.
Wonderful.
Hey there, Buzz.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well. And a long-awaited report on steroids in Major League Baseball names names. The report is the result of a 20-month investigation, includes the names of more than 80 current and former players who've been linked to performance-enhancing
We're,
drugs.
We're either Don or Mike on the list.
Top of the list.
Stop making jokes. Cal Ripken Jr., I'm shocked. I am shocked. He's on the list.
He's not really.
Yes, he is.
Barry Bonds.
You said I was making jokes.
Mark McGwire, Jason Giambi, Jose Canseco, Andy Pettit, and move on to name a few. Baseball commissioner Bud Selig says the players will be disciplined on a case-by-case basis. He says the league's already implementing some of George Mitchell's 20 recommendations.
I know people that like to be disciplined.
And that others will have to be negotiated. Other changes they make will have to be negotiated with the players' union.
I know we discussed this earlier, but maybe I can get my thoughts kind of condensed here. I heard Mitchell speak today. On one hand, he's saying this happened with everybody. So these 80 guys that we're picking out,
right,
don't jump on them.
Right.
And furthermore, I hope that even these 80 players, everything will be looked at in the rearview mirror.
Mm-hmm.
However, if the commissioner decides that there are cases that are so dire, he must deal with them now, he shall do that. I mean, there are conflicting...
He seemed to be coming from it in 20 different directions.
Conflicting messages there. Like, for instance...
Like, full amnesty would not be granted for everybody.
Right.
Right. And if everybody did it, and I know everybody didn't do it literally, but he's saying a large percentage did. And if the intent of Major League Baseball is not to punish these guys or drag them through the mud, why are we pulling out these 80 names then?
That is the part that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, if they're going to let it lie and if they're going to move on, I don't understand that at all. That should have been kept confidential.
Wouldn't it have been easier to come out and say, listen, we got a list of guys. It would be easier to give you a list of the guys that didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just
well, didn't he also say the majority? I mean, most of the players didn't do them, right?
Yeah, but then he balances that by saying, but for the guys that did do it, you got to understand, they're just trying to keep up to keep their jobs.
All I know is the thing was over 400 pages.
Right, 409 pages.
It's massive. I mean, it's a massive report.
But no pictures either.
No pictures except photocopies of checks.
A lot of that.
Photocopies of checks written for steroids.
Those are pictures. Mm-hmm. Bud Selig is also talking about punishing the past and moreover, though, talking about this call to action, as he describes it, for the future. Seelig says the league's also working on a test to detect the human growth hormone, which he says players switched to when the spotlight fell on steroids. Seelig says baseball now has the best steroid testing program in all of sports.
Mm-hmm. There's just something about it that just it doesn't come out correctly in the end. Mm-hmm. It's like all of this,
especially
crap,
because there are guys that aren't in the report that they say that they're aware of that have done steroids.
Right.
But I guess they weren't in the report because they didn't have enough evidence.
Right.
That's what I don't understand.
Yeah. And now, of course, the media will want to find out who those guys are.
Yeah.
And this guy Mitchell is saying, please, let's leave this in the hands of Bud Light.
Stop here.
And, you know, any way you slice it, I don't think it's going to last all that long.
No,
I think it's short attention span theater. I really do. But for today, at least, I mean, there are a lot of guys, you know, that have been tainted by this, mm-hmm. and it sucks.
Right.
It really does. And if, you know, what is the greater good with this? That's what we were discussing earlier. Is the greater good to really get this out? Or it sounds to me like there aren't enough systems recommended to get steroids out of baseball.
This is simply cover your ass.
Yeah.
I mean,
mostly,
if there was some way.
As a caller said, this is simply people doing stuff because Congress was putting pressure on Major League
right.
Baseball.
Like, for instance, I know this is a bad analogy, but hear me out on this. Like the Virginia Tech tragedy. You got to admit that most likely in our lifetimes is a 1 in 1 million chance
right.
that a guy's going to go nuts at Virginia Tech. Now at Virginia Tech, because that happened, mm-hmm. they overreacted in such a way that they have security beyond security.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying it was their fault that this thing happened. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Something happens, and like with the baseball thing, I'm
right.
trying to draw the analogy. This thing happened, and rather than just say, okay, it happened, we're going to deal with it, they're coming out now and saying, to ensure that this never happens again, mm-hmm. we're going to put this into place and this into
place.
Well,
see, I think I argue with the whole idea, perhaps, of getting the investigation when you really should have just implemented procedures
right.
to eliminate steroids from the game itself.
At this point, it's too late.
The testing, but they had to go back and say, you know, it's almost like they're putting on a show.
And I get the feeling it's like with airports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with after the stuff happened on 9/11, all we focus on in a nation as a nation now is airplanes
right.
and TSA.
Yeah.
There is a weird parallel there mm-hmm. with baseball to say that this is a problem. We're trying to deal with it. We're doing the best we can rather than come out and say, okay, we got a list of guys and we now know the way to handle this.
Mm-hmm.
You can't carry more than 3 ounces of toothpaste when you go on an airplane.
Do you think part of it is baseball having to show Congress that, hey, look, here's what we're doing?
Absolutely.
I mean, they're going to have to, but they don't have to necessarily adopt all the recommendations of the Mitchell Committee, right?
They don't have to, but because of that pressure from Congress, they're likely to.
If they want to continue as a monopoly,
right.
they're going to have to follow
right.
the
right.
government's guidelines,
right.
correct?
It's just frustrating because I think everybody feels the same way. Almost just tired. Mm-hmm. You know, you're tired of this. It's sad. It's a drag.
Yeah, it fatigues you, doesn't it?
Yeah, because you know what? And I don't justify any of the guys that have done it, but if it had been handled a little bit differently, now what do you do? What do you throw on the national psyche while we're in the middle of a war, while we're on the verge of a recession? Throw this out at you with nothing really redeeming. I mean, the fact is these guys played baseball. They were heroes to a lot of people. They were the big superstars. There's some of these guys in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure, and I do agree with you on what good bringing the 80 names forward does when you're talking about really eliminating steroids from baseball.
And when you're saying, we're not going to punish guys for past regressions, please let's move past this. Incidentally, here's 80 guys that did it.
Yeah, because that's punishment enough, really. That's the court of public opinion. That's tremendous punishment.
Although it makes perfect sense to not release any names, do you think they could have gotten away with not releasing names?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
But the media would have gone crazy.
And Rob, yes, they would have. Somehow they would have squeaked out, but it wouldn't be Major League.
You can make a case.
It wouldn't be Major League Baseball standing up there giving everybody a list.
You could make a case where, you know, we don't have the kind of evidence where we feel that legally mm-hmm. we should release these names. That's all you have to say, and you would have been fine with that. But the other thing he said about perhaps prosecuting some of these guys or punishing some of these guys more severely. It's just,
and again,
it's too rampant. It's too widespread. They got to move on, put the systems in, and get it over with.
It doesn't wash with the whole amnesty thing. And seriously.
And I know I hate to say this because it sounds like, oh, we can't get any bad news, but it is so depressing. And we are talking about
Cass,
a pastime. We are talking about a diversion
right.
here.
As I said, I was kidding before, but I swear to God I mean this. Why do we care if some baseball player is high? Really?
And I hate to say what I said before, but that part, you know, as far as getting the steroids out.
Then put it in their contract that you're a role model. Uh-huh. Put it in the goddamn contract for these guys. Because, frankly, I want to see a guy hit the ball as far as he can, run as far as he can. And if he shoots up, great.
You're talking, of course, about heroin.
Whatever. Steroids, HGH. If it gives me a better show, mm-hmm. hell, you know that game tonight.
So you're basically going back to the Roman theory of the Colosseum. You're saying if they shoot it up and it's a better show,
yes.
If the arm falls off to, you know, and one of the lions, then, yep. then as long as the entertainment's
it's
better.
The ridiculous PC nature of our country now. Oh my God, the national pastime. We got to clean this up. No, we don't. No, we don't.
So you're arguing for more steroids in baseball
and in all sports. For instance, the dog game tonight.
You're killing me.
There's a dog game tonight. Denver and Houston.
Be a better game if those guys were all roided up, right?
You're reading my mind. Give them some crank.
You know, yeah, all drugs.
Let the guys that are too hyper give them some weed.
You have it down on a little crawl, exactly what he's on during the game.
Make it like the good old days, Mike Greenies, you know, like they had in baseball.
This guy. Man, look at him fly down the field. I wonder if he's capable of flying any faster than that.
Wouldn't it be great tonight? You turn on TV and go, welcome to the NFL Network. Well, this is a dog game, but we're going inside the Houston Texans locker room. Look at that training table full of syringes and pills.
21-7, Texans up at halftime. But, of course, you know, the second half, they will be on depressants. And we're going to see what happens when the other team has to have an opportunity to come back. We'll see how it works.
Yeah, but that's what we're worried about, America. That's what we're worried about.
We do focus on stuff that does not seem to be of a... you know, of a scale when you get guys that are over getting their arms blown off.
Or even more than that, and not to make this a gun thing, but Jesus Christ, some guy goes into a mall in Nebraska mm-hmm. and shoots people. That lasts one day on the news.
That's one news cycle.
This thing, this has got legs. Mm-hmm. Because now you're thinking...
Well, this, you know what it falls in? It falls into the category of what we now love in this country, which is gossip. We love the culture of celebrity, and there's nothing right now. And I mean nothing. You mentioned the gun story, one news cycle. But nothing has more legs in the media and gets more hits on the internet than tearing a celebrity down. If a celebrity is screwing up, that is what we want more than anything else. It started with O.J. Simpson, and it has continued to this day. That's what we love. Love to knock them down. Yeah. Fun, fun, fun.
Kind of feel that way about Roger Clemens.
So do I. I'm a Red Sox fan.
Come on, dickhead. I mean, you could have retired like 5 years ago.
What an incredible stamina. What a workout regimen he must have.
I'm sure I'm sure he was clean when he was with the Red Sox, Mike.
Well, you saw him when he came up with the Red Sox. He looked like Ronnie Cox. When he came up with the Red Sox, give me a break.
Mr. Peep.
Give me a break. No, I guarantee you, I can say here, absolute certainty. He never did that when he was with the Red Sox. Yeah, the Red Sox are on that list.
Of course they are.
Mo Vaughn's on that list.
Paul Mo Vaughn.
And Eric Gagme. So long, chump.
I put it on TV. What the hell? Let's see these guys bending over and getting these shots.
In their butts.
I want to see the reaction. I want to see, like, okay, here is Jorge Posada. Mm-hmm. He's getting a shot right now.
He's not on the list.
Well, he should be, Mike. How long will it be until Jorge Posada's HGH kicks in? And he actually watches.
You just see him. You see him sitting right in front of the locker on a little bench, and then it's like, let's play ball.
Right, that's right.
Play ball.
Let's go to the ass cam.
There it is. There goes the needle
in the Yankees locker room. There's Jorge Posada bending over, and
Tim McCarver saying, "Why? I'll tell you something, Joe. I actually saw his bicep get bigger." No, you didn't. No, you didn't, dipstick.
Anyway, Buzz, what's your opinion?
I don't know. I think they are role models, and I think that they shouldn't do that. As one lawmaker said, people are paying good money to see people play honest baseball, and what they're seeing is cheating.
Then put it in these guys' contracts.
Fair enough.
Seriously, I believe in this day and
easy
age,
enough to do too.
They're entertainers.
Right. You put a clause in that they have to do stuff.
So Buzz is saying anyone in the public eye
like an entertainer or a broadcaster.
No, I'm sure he's saying just sports personality.
Should not take any recreational medication. Right,
that's,
Buzz?
That's right.
That's right.
Others may be watching.
Can I still smoke a lot of pot?
Yes, of course you can.
Words I live by.
And, sure, can I drive drunk?
Anytime you want, Rob.
Thank you. I'll come see you tonight. I'll be knocking loud because when I arrive, I'll be drunk.
I'll be at the
drunk
door.
And stoned.
My blood alcohol will be 0.2.
There you go.
Investigating Al Sharpton when we continue.
Boogie.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
You know.
Don and Mike Show.
All right, folks. That's all the best we have for you today.
Oh, no, it's not. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
How the heck are you?
Still good. The finances of the Reverend Al Sharpton are under investigation by the feds. Government agents moved in on as many as 10 of Sharpton's closest associates yesterday, demanding records dating back as far as 6 years ago.
Who's looking at my fat ass?
Sharpton himself was awakened at 6:30 in the morning by FBI agents delivering a subpoena to his home in Harlem.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know if they're delivering a subpoena or not.
I'm sorry.
Subpoena says he asked to report to a federal grand jury with his financial records on the day after Christmas.
Day after Christmas?
That's right.
That's wrong.
Several of Sharpton's employees also got subpoenas to testify.
On the day after Christmas?
Day after December 26th, yeah.
That's wrong.
I know. The feds are investigating whether Sharpton lied about the amount of money he raised in his 2004 presidential campaign.
I bet you did.
I did not.
I bet you did.
Yeah, you would say that.
Of course
would.
I would.
Cracker.
They went after Sharpton for the same thing 2 years ago.
I'm sorry. Another cracker.
This is my friend Don Imus.
Y'all crackers. He was listen to my radio show. Well, I always sound like I got a stuffy nose.
The personalities on this station are all wearing ankle monitors.
Anyway, he was forced to return $100,000 in matching campaign funds from the taxpayers at the last investigation. A former Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, meanwhile, has been named Lawyer of the Year. Lawyers already have an image problem. Is naming one of the worst ones Lawyer of the Year a good idea?
Where? Where is, like in the country?
You ready? The ABA Journal thinks so. The official magazine of the American Bar Association, which says it's a little like when Time Magazine named Hitler Person of the Year.
And here he is now. Alberto Gonzalez.
My sombrero is too big. My sombrero
lawyer
is too
of the
big.
Year.
Wow. The American Bar Association names him Lawyer of the Year.
ABA.
What I got for Christmas is too big.
Bueno. It's too large.
Yes.
It's nice, but my sombrero is too big.
Speedy Attorney General.
Is it raining? Is it snowing? I can't see where I am going, because the hat I got for Christmas is too big.
It's too big.
Yeah, it's too big.
Their point is you don't have to be good or famous, just infamous. Gonzalez resigned in September while under investigation for breaking the law and then lying about it to Congress. Gonzalez, of course, probably doesn't recall any of that now.
And beat the drum, ring the bells, and beat the drum, I ring the bells.
Stop that. Here's the tape of Gonzalez resigning.
Ah.
Adios, senors.
There he goes.
You got to give him credit for the quickest resignation speech in history.
And like that, he was gone. Walmart has removed from its stores some pink underpants for preteen girls that cover the pubic region with the words, "Who needs credit cards?" Now, to be fair to the store that heavily censors its books and music, the back of the panties said, "When you have Santa." So the whole thing reads, "Who needs credit cards when you have Santa?"
Oh, come on.
Still, the message is broken up, and even the second part bothered some people. Feminist Jessica Valenti says, quote,
"That bitch!"
Exactly how nice to Santa would the girl have to be in order to get stuff?
"That bitch!"
Valenti goes on to say, "There's nothing like telling adolescent girls they don't need to worry about finances since they have their very own money pot between their legs."
What about the vagina?
Yes. Well, it's a life lesson.
Wow, they really spelled it out for us, didn't
they? It's a life lesson at Walmart.
She really did. Said that in that quote.
Hugs are great.
Hugs are great.
But a vagina will give you a lifetime of quarters.
No credit card necessary.
The leader of over a billion Catholics, Pope Benedict XVI.
Yeah, how you doing there, Buzzy?
Hey, Pope.
Just a man, flesh and bone.
Yes,
right?
Sirree. Hey, happy holidays to you and yours.
And to you.
Merry Christmas to your newsman.
Oh, I see.
Thank
you.
And right. To you,
yes,
sir.
Yes, Sirree. Yes.
The Pope says a lot of this talk about global warming is exaggeration and scaremongering.
That's exactly what it is. It's all fake science.
The Pope is condemning people who argue that man-made global warming is melting the ice cap.
You are celebrating Christmas, Burbank?
I am, as a matter of fact.
Why?
Well, because it's a holiday that I enjoy about giving and sharing and love.
Wonderful. Yeah, you can use all those nice words you want. I think it's all a bunch of bunk when you say that.
What's Christmas really about, Pope?
Christmas is really about getting as many gifts as you possibly can. Right. But more important than that, on Christmas Eve, tying on one hell of a bender. Drinking expensive Vatican wines
just a man.
From all over the free world.
While you're wearing your fancy
red loafers.
Your red loafers.
They're red designer Italian loafers.
Those are nice.
And collecting pictures of kittens.
Is it okay to go to midnight mass drunk?
Of course it is, Rob. I give you absolution.
I'll drive.
There you go, my son.
Thank you.
Drive as
terrific.
Fast as you can.
Absolute. Although the Pontiff says some environmental concerns may be valid, he says it's important to follow the science and not the dogma of the environmentalist movement.
Dogma. Right. Don't like dogs, like cats. Kittens. Little pictures of kittens.
I know.
Let's all listen to a guy who doesn't want us to wear rubbers.
And red, shiny loafers.
The 80-year-old Pope says we should care for the environment, but not to the point of putting plants and animals ahead of humans. The Pope says there's not even really any proof that climate change has been caused by man.
I wish you all that you get your packages delivered on time.
God, you're 80?
Yeah, 80 years old.
I thought you were younger than that.
Thanks a lot. I don't show it, do I?
Didn't they make a big deal about how much younger you were than the other guy?
Yes, sirree. God bless you, Rob Spiewak, for pointing out how incredibly youthful I look. Unlike your newsman over there.
You've got great legs.
How old is the Pope?
80.
80. 80 years young.
That means he is older than someone who's having a celebrity birthday today.
Oh, that's right.
Guessing game right now.
Is it Regis Philbin?
It is not.
Is it Tony Bennett?
Let me say that the person that I'm thinking of is a legendary personality who served America in World War II, Vietnam, the Korean conflict, and the Gulf War, and also Iraq.
Wow.
You got me.
Don't know.
Whose birthday is it, Rob?
We discussed it this morning.
Yeah, let's let it out of the bag.
Charlie Stewing Stabilak turned 67 today.
I completely forgot he'll be in celebrating tomorrow with
December
his favorite 13th? Story, the Hamburger James story.
1940.
He's 80.
You say he served in World War II? He would have only been 5 years old.
That's when he had those legs amputated, and then they grew back.
I keep forgetting strong. How old he is. All right,
born in 1940.
All right, so he didn't serve in WW2.
No, he might have been in the USO.
How old will he be?
He's 67. He is 67.
He'll be 68.
But you realize he really could have served in WW2. For God's sakes, he could be 80 for all we know.
No, he can make it up. He's a fictitious character.
He's not a fictitious character.
Rob, you're the one that made up the date.
No, I'm the one who wrote it down. You having a good time?
Yeah, you guys are high.
Finally, in the spirit of this Christian season, the true story of how a Muslim and a Jew became friends.
Anyway, tomorrow, along with all of our Christmas stuff, Charlie's birthday as well.
Oh, my God. Friday night on the subway in Lower Manhattan, a group of guys, Christians apparently, were shouting, Merry Christmas! Some Jewish guys were on the train as well, and one of them answered back, Happy Hanukkah. And then, because that's what Jesus would do, 10 of these Christians pummeled the young Jew. The 20-year-old victim fought back as best he could, but then a complete stranger pulled the emergency brake, which brought the police. The stranger is a Muslim. He and the Jew are now friends, something that probably never would have happened if it weren't for the Christians. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
You know what he was doing there? He was Christian magic.
Yeah.
They brought people together.
You're like a bad Paul Harvey. I mean, you know, evil bad Paul
right.
Harvey.
Now you know the rest of the story. A bong!
We'll see you tomorrow. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you,
good
sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Ed.
Drinking and driving. Love to do it.
Hey, sticky pot.
This is the Don and Mike Show.